It's January 19th, 2013, and IGN was not blown away by Polygon's review of the Guild Wars 2 announcement for the rest of the year of 2013. My name's Thurbleton, and you're listening to the Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast, The Lincoln Cast. Joined with me today is self-confessed cynic.
If you graph the review on an E curve, then you probably find it somewhere along the lines of E to the 5 or 6. I'd say something there, but you never know with Polygon. It could go up or down that E curve as they see fit.
Well, yeah, they like to change those algorithms to do second or third reviews.
Yeah.
As we've seen historically. Squiddle, what is your opinion on the graph?
I like peanut butter.
I think that's the
peanut
appropriate
butter
response.
Is tasty.
That is the appropriate response.
Do you like peanut butter with just in a jar, or like what's
it? If you get toast and you brown it just a little bit, and then you put the peanut butter on and let it sit and it melts,
that is
in,
pretty good.
That's the kind of peanut
do you
butter
get, like, we could see natural peanut butter, or do you get like the really smooth stuff?
No, smooth stuff. Maybe like a little bit of a Jiffy or a Peter Pan. If I'm feeling, you know, antsy. And maybe a little bit of sugar on top. You never know. I might just add that in there.
No. See, you had me till the sugar. The toast and peanut butter is up there in easy foods to make that taste real good.
Yeah, I don't get a peanut butter and toast meal, like treat, for the sugar of it. I get it for
savory. It's savory. Well,
true. And I had a friend that did peanut butter and mayonnaise, and I never understood that. So,
oh, fuck off. Your friend, is he dead? Because he should be.
What's more important to me is what type of bread. Like, usually it's a good Italian bread, maybe a sour.
Wheat. I love a good wheat bread.
I just have it on toasted white bread. You guys are crazy. But that's
Let me take that back. Sourdough. You got to get a sourdough, toast it, and then you put a little bit of butter on it, and then the peanut butter. So the butter melts the sourdough, so it's a little soggy, and the peanut butter adds that just nice layer to it. Hmm. That's my favorite sandwich.
Duren, what's your take on bread? What do you like?
Huh? Sorry, you lost me at IGN.
That rounds out the table of this week's Lincoln Cast. Anything new with you, Duren?
You know,
I've
been very against wheat for a long time. I grew up eating it, but here lately, a good honey wheat.
Yes.
Wheat?
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Like straight up wheat-based stuff just like plays honey, havoc honey, with my right. with my digestive system. I need like oat-based. Like anything wheat-based and wheat just fucking killed me. But oats are... So I get oat-based breads and that kind of stuff.
I was going to give you crap for your stomach not being able to handle wheat, mm-hmm. but then I remembered I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't really say anything.
Well, no, I was going to give him crap for that. Also the fact that he's eaten like the hottest peppers on the planet sort of thing.
It's not
I was like, how do you...
It's not like I get... It's, I just had... Yeah, my digestion goes fucked. Like I just... It's like having the runs, but painful when I have a lot of
wheat. And I don't know if I'm lactose intolerant, but for some reason when I eat ice cream at 3 in the morning and then go to bed, it doesn't sit well with me in the morning. And I don't know if it's I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, that's not lactose intolerant. That's
you don't usually want it. You'll get an upset stomach. Now, if you eat like if you eat the ice cream in Guild Wars 2 and then do like / sleep, that like you don't wake up throwing up. That would be hilarious if they coded that.
No, I wish I had a / sleep command for my life. It'd be so much easier to fall asleep and then wake up on time.
I've never had food that made me want to wake, like vomit after I wake up. Like never.
You should come see me and I will show you some food.
But there's like, if I eat chili chips at night, then I wake up with this weird taste in my head. Let's just talk about Guild Wars 2, shall we? I guess Thurbleton tried to nudge us in that direction.
But... I tried making transition, and then you kept that going on the whole time.
I assumed we were going to talk about what we played before Guild Wars 2.
Actually, the rough format of today's episode, there is a big blog announcement from Colin Johansson detailing just what they've done for the past year, as well as their plans for the future. And in between those big bullet points, we'll go around the table and see what everyone's up to.
Oh, cool.
Can we call him Colin Johansson?
No. There's also Colin Brohansson, and dude's got 1,000 names. All of them are endearingly lovely, I'm sure.
Sure.
So I guess first off, we'll go with a bit of a recap. Mm-hmm. There's the whole Living World, and they recently announced the two-week schedule, which we talked about last week.
Yep.
Chief of which is currently going on is the Zephyr thing, which I know Shinboy and I talked the Zephyr tradesmen people.
The Four Winds, like that.
Yes.
The Sky Pirates.
Cool.
No, not Sky Pirates.
They're in the sky and they're in a ship. They're Sky Pirates.
They're not in the ship.
These are Sky Traders. We defeated the Sky Pirates, who actually, during that event, they end up killing one of the members of the Lion's Arch Council, and that will be based on next Living Story content, Cutthroat Politics, which we'll talk about when that gets in more detail, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of cool. We're bringing this back up again because Cynic and Squiddle wanted to talk about their experience with that as well. So
yeah, and Noob went with me for mine, but he can't. Well, he just couldn't be fucked being here. Apparently, I don't know one way or the other. And he couldn't be fucked being here. Would have been too negative if me and Noob were here at the same time. So, what, Squiddle? Do you want to go first? Or
I can't. excuse me. Sorry. Okay. Yes. So. This was my first foray into the Four Winds.
Yeah.
What's it called? I've not been there yet. I've been busy with work. Went in today for about 2.5 hours. Did all the platforming and the new game, I guess you could play, chasing people, running around.
Am I wrong in saying that the platforming is kind of the whole thing with that content update?
It seems like it. Like I said, I didn't get much of the story aspect because I wasn't there for it. So I kind of came in, and what was left there is some jumping, platforming, and one little story.
So
we started that stuff,
right? And we like me and Noob usually do, we're just chatting on Skype while we run through. So we weren't really paying attention to the game, like, pretty much at all. So the first thing we come up against is those, like, waterfalls that knock you down.
I absolutely love it.
It was great when you know what's happening.
So that was the fun. So I come up against the waterfall on the ground and I keep getting knocked back and I'm like, what the hell? And I realize I have three different functions on my bar. So I kind of start looking at what they're doing. And I love that discovery aspect of it. Like I did not read anything.
Wait, so how did you get the three things in your bar? Because we only had like...
I ran into crystals that gave me... one item, I ran into another one, it gave me another item, and then I had three, and I was like, okay, so I can't get through the waterfall, I'm trying to...
Oh, wait, so you ran around, like, at the on the beaches, at the bottom.
Yes and no. Scattered throughout the entire map, or zone, there's three or four types of crystals.
Yeah.
Each with, like, an attunement. And the fire one will give you, an ironically enough, ride the lightning type animation, where you, like, just go ethereal and... go through stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's a, like I said last week, one similar to the engineer's rocket jump. So that's the electric one. And then like there's a water one that gets you up, or air gets you up in the air. Anyway.
Yeah.
Whenever you walk over these crystals, you get 10 charges worth of that ability.
Right.
And it overrides your HUD, or your weapon bar.
Yeah.
And the thing I liked about it is when you got to an area and you're like, I don't know how to complete this. Well, if you look around, there's usually a crystal very near there that you can pick up and go, okay, so that attunement is for whatever I'm trying to get to. I get it. And then get close to it, do it, and you realize you can go through, like with the water fountains and the number two on your action bar. So I love that aspect.
A great little addition. I think the skills themselves were freaking awesome. Like the what's his face? Like the one that makes you dash forward. Like I don't know which ones are which, but I guess it's fire.
Number two.
I guess it's fire. Yeah. The one that makes you dash forward through stuff and you hit it again to stop dashing. I freaking love that. I hate the jump, but that's because I hate jumping in MMOs. The air one can go die in a horrible hole with rapists in it as well.
Cynic, you never tried comboing it where you jump up in the air and then you do the fire thing to shoot yourself forward.
Exactly. I would have given up Heartseeker as a main attack to be able to do a combo of any one of those three. Because I love the idea of being able to get to areas I'm not able to normally.
Right.
And just kind of cheese it in a way. I love that.
And My favorite one was the, I think it's electricity, which just makes you do like this crazy forward flip forward, and but you can aim it. I guess it's the one that you said was like the rocket jump, right? It's just like a.
I
loved all of the ones I touched, except for the jumping one, obviously. But they were great. I really liked the design they put into them. Those seem to be unique animations. I don't remember seeing anything like any of those before. I guess fire is kind of ripped off Ride the Lightning. But it's not at the same time because it's a different effect. But yeah, they're really cool. So I'm with you on that one, Squiddle. The part I'm not with you on, though, is the fact that they only have 10 uses. I would have given anything to just had those all the time while I was at that place because
I find it – yes, it is. But I find it kind of fun and challenging. I mean, if there's no challenge to it, then you don't get the experience. You don't get the, I fell off of this platform. I got to find the crystal again and start over. And I enjoy that struggle and that challenge to get to the end because it
means
more to me.
That's the part I absolutely cannot stand.
I don't like things handed to me, okay? I like to work for my projects.
I'm a content tourist, I guess. So I was like there.
Okay.
And every time we'd fuck up, which we inevitably did, because it's me and Noobarama, like possibly the two worst PvE players in the guild. and we were just running around. And yeah, like whenever we'd fuck up and we had to start from scratch again, we were just like, I look at him and he'd look at me and we were just like, I'm so done with this place. And he's like, the main reason we kept exploring because I was like, no, we need to give this due diligence. There has to be something outside of these jumping puzzles to do, and apparently not. Like, it's just one.
I mean, like it definitely seemed like the last living story was like we had a mini dungeon,
right?
We had a new jumping puzzle, like and as well as a speed added. This was a lore dump, which a lot of like lore enthusiasts drank up as much as they could with the initial days, and then just a jungle gym.
Yeah,
and this is this will be a transition into the cutthroat politics. The next one,
right? Those are pretty much my like takeaway. I don't want to go on and on about MMO jumping and how I fucking hate everything about that, and how this represented pretty much every aspect of Guild Wars 2 I don't like except for the lore stuff. Oh, but the visual design of the place is absolutely stunning. It looks beautiful.
Oh yes, yeah,
looks beautiful.
I had a very sense of peace. As soon as I got off the boat and I walked around, I love the lanterns hanging. I love that you were going up as opposed to outwards.
Yeah.
As you traveled, and it kind of just felt away from the havoc of Lion's Arch and the other areas. It was a new area for me, and it was very peaceful. And I drank that up and absolutely loved it.
I if there were like the only thing I would change, I would make is just to remove all the enemies from that map. Like if it was just like a nice peaceful area that you could just have a look. It was like essentially a town. That would be perfect for me. But it's still like there's nothing too much to complain about there. But I'll let you go on about this stuff because that's pretty much the extent of what we did. Just look around, get angry, and then leave. But I have a bunch to talk about when it comes to the PvP map. So it's up to you to carry the rest of this PvE stuff.
I mean, I did the race. I don't know what the actual name of it is. I guess it's the new puzzle you can do in the area. And I found that really fun. Like the first time I did it, I went in there and there was people already started it. So I didn't get any reward for getting to the top, but following people, I kind of learned the paths and learned that you can go more than just one direction. And then, you know, I got to the end and the second time I did it, I got second place. So either it was really easy because I've done jumping puzzles and I've never gotten that close to the end that quickly. So maybe it was designed to be very easy, or I've just gotten a lot better at running around, which I highly doubt that's the answer. but I really like the aspect that you can drop crystals that will have people like, you know, block people, stun people or whatever. You can kind of very Mario Kart them-ish, if I can use that analogy. And I thought it was really cool, really fresh, really refreshing.
Was there still like the 10 use limit on that or?
No, I did not notice that. I don't believe so at all. Every time I went towards a crystal that I thought was I had to pick up a crystal. I have to do this. I would get stunned. So from what I took from that is that somebody would drop a electric crystal that would stun me because I would think that I have to go get that so that I can still use my three option, which is my rocket jump,
right.
have you, and I would get stunned. So I realized often, avoid the crystals at all cost. Hmm. And I got to the top. So there, it didn't seem like there was any recharges that had to be done.
Man, damn it. I really was really disappointed when I found out those things had like limited uses. I really liked all of those skills. So anyway, whatever.
Hashtag deal with it.
Fuck yes. That. Or I could just not play it, I guess. Those are my options.
But don't even try to better yourself. Just don't even do it. Be apathetic towards the entire thing. That's how you do it.
How about I have fun rather than playing a game I don't find? No,
challenges can be fun.
Okay? I think we should move on to a quick overview of what's to come. What this little story is leading
map?
Into.
Can I talk about the PvP map?
Sure.
Are we transitioning out of this topic, or is this lore stuff you guys want to talk about when it comes to the bizarre stuff?
We could talk about the lore stuff, but really, I'd recommend like Wooden Potatoes. The guy does a much better job than we ever could.
Right.
I guess I'll use that as my link dump. But
I'll essentially just talk about the PvP map, and I think that's the best PvP map in this game. And I was surprised at how freaking awesome it was when I played it. Man, it's good.
What's it called?
It's called Skyhammer, I think.
Yeah,
and it's based. The Skyhammer name comes from the stuff we talked about last week, which is a Gears of War-esque hammer of the skies, like big laser in the sky that you could control. But the main reason I like it, because that stuff,
it's the glass, right?
It's no, I hate the glass. But I think the glass adds like a really good tactical element, because I thought originally that if you just stand on the glass, then it disappears. But it's actually a countdown, so you could run past the glass and it'll still just like deactivate behind you. So you can be like this really cool. You can do like cat and mouse elements around the glass and get it to the point where someone has to fall or has to back off you. Which is kind of weird, because in some ways that does like make ranged classes have more of an advantage than they already do, but it works out. But I think point two or B or whatever it was is the one where it's just surrounded by glass, and I think that's almost like unfair for melee classes. But then you have two weapons for a reason, and at least in my case, all my builds have a ranged weapon on the swap. But no, like. Just the visual design of that map is spectacular. It looks absolutely stunning, in my opinion. I love the colors they're using, the like Borderlands-esque kind of scratch that. It reminds me of Unreal Tournament in like all the right ways, and I love that, to the point where when I saw that they had jump pads, I was just like, I was gleeful. I was like, this is the best thing ever. Because just like the ways you can move around now, like the ways run, like two people fighting is entirely different on that map than anything else. And like, it actually changes the way you play, because you can be up against someone and they can hit the bounce pad and go one direction, and you can try to be following them, but hit the bounce pad and accidentally go the other direction. And then that creates more time and spacing. And you can use it, like you can hit the jump pad, get on a ledge, and then immediately fall off the ledge. But it can be in a spot where the other person tried to do the same, but hits another jump pad and goes further away. Like, you can create situations where just knowledge of your surroundings and your overall like tactical movement can significantly alter fights. And it's just, that map is pretty much unlike, like in the way that I hate all those elements in PvE, I love all those elements in PvP, and it's for some reason it just works. But beyond that, like just beyond like the awesome map design, there's a level of polish on that I haven't seen on a map for a while. Like, it's just the sizing is really good. The routes between areas, especially because of new routes created by jump pads, etc., are really solid. It has like just the right amount of spaces to fight other people with, in my opinion, in a lot of places in that map. Aside from point B, I really don't like the fact that it's surrounded by glass. Like, the other points have like a bit of glass, but that one is pretty much surrounded by glass, and I think that's a bit too restricting. But especially like if everyone converges on that point, then it can get to the point where it's just the point and it's a, like there's only a couple ways to get off it because everything else is just empty space, which I guess is fun in some ways, but I think combat in Guild Wars 2 is chaotic enough without that. I think they could have been a little bit more sparing with how much class they use, but the concept is pretty fun.
I'd almost want to ask, like, what, like, some of the teams that are doing the like 5v5 and 8v8 structured stuff,
right?
Because it, like, if you zerg that, like, you could also add the element of strategy, like, if you with the opt in like single matches, like single person matches, those, yeah, that's just going to be a zerg fest. People are going to pounce on one point.
Yeah, and that's the type chaos. I played, so I haven't really seen advanced play, but yeah.
But yeah, like, do you think in organized play the glass is too much of a hindrance? Like, they're prepared for reacting if, like, they try making a stand on B, just take A and C, and
I think
you're fine.
That map would have been better without the glass entirely. I think that the glass makes like pug games, like the ones I played, really fun. Well, to be honest, like, we only really played with a couple people, like a couple times. Me and Noob spent more time just running around the map. We entered an empty server and just literally went through every inch of that map just to, like, to get a general. Well, he was playing around with the laser. I was running around every inch of that map to get a feel for it. But yeah, like, it's just the map has like an element of design. It's smaller I think if I'm not incorrect than all the other maps as well. So it has like this weird, like, even though it does have that second tier around the laser, but aside from that, it's built for 5v5 in such a way that it does it better than most of the other maps I've seen. But the fact that the glass is there means that you have to play on that map differently from every other map, even beyond the fact that it already adds things that make you play differently. It has the laser, which is incredibly, it does 10,000 damage to a warrior. I have like 2,300 or whatever armor, and 23,000 health. So I guess
it's a bit stronger than like the catapults, I think.
In WoW.
No, WoW there, they don't hurt at all.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I think it is a bit. I think it's a bit weaker than the catapults in Kylo. I remember the catapult in Kylo doing like 12,000. No, maybe I'm wrong, but then I'm on the, I don't have much armor. Like my warrior goes high health, low armor because condition damage is more important nowadays. And health is better for combating condition damage. But, I think it does the right amount of damage. Like I think it does the right amount of damage because you don't want that thing to one hit everything in an area. And it's got this awesome sound effect to it, and it's got this awesome like charge up time to it that looks really like, it looks really futuristic and sci-fi in a way that works somehow in Guild Wars 2, but also stand on its own. Like if ArenaNet made a game based on this aesthetic and the sound design that went into this map, I would play that game because like the announcer has like this new voice. It sounds like Killzone or like a Nazi or not Nazi era, so World War II era bomb raid like voices with like scratchy radio sounds, and it just everything kind of works. But going back to your point though, I think that this map already does things in terms of jump pads, in terms of having the sky laser, that do change the way you play enough that once you add the glass, especially in some of its weird placing, especially around point B, I think it was. This could make no sense to someone if I got that point name wrong, but it's like the one at the bottom, I think it is, and it's got like a triangular piece of glass on the edge just before the ledge that makes it fall off, and then two more triangular pieces of glasses on either side of it, and then a wall on the other side of that. So to approach it, you have to glow over at least one piece of glass. Then you have the server. Anyway, people.
It sounds like with the other maps we've seen, like whether it be Capricorn or trying to think of the new Snow one, but it's they all played on different themes.
Right.
This one seems to be a theme of just like mobility, and
yeah,
some parts of the map will give you greater mobility, and some are designed to hinder your mobility.
Exactly. Yeah,
but in no way like shut you down completely. Like there's still ways to.
I think that Well, they do. That's the problem. Like, that's my problem with it, in that if you do fall through, there's no recourse. Like, it's not like you... In some places, you can fall down. There's a jump pad at the bottom. That's fine. But the ones I have issue with... those are actually really cool. The ones I have issues with are the ones that just fall into space. And then you fall, like, 10,000 meters, and you take, like, all your life and damage, and there's sandworms there, and whatever. Those ones force you to hit respawn, and that, I think, is really crappy. I would prefer it if they did have, like, like Unreal Tournament or Halo-esque undermap. So essentially have, because it's a smaller map, you could have the whole map, and then you could have small pockets of undermap. So if you fall down, you have to, like, make your way around to get back up to the point. So you, instead of losing your life, you lose time, which is just as vital in PvP, but also, like, it doesn't have the points go askew, because it's weird, like, considerations you have to make. If people start falling through those holes, or if, for example, you're a guardian and have a pushback big enough to knock most people into those holes, especially around that point B, then that makes an already really strong option for the guardian even stronger, right? It has weird, like, follow-on effects that I think would negatively influence some aspects of the map. But if they'd replace those little spots with, like, you fall down a small amount, then you have to go around, or, in my opinion, what I would have done instead is have slow pads. So instead of glass in general, I'd replace all the glass on that map with, like, this field that if you walked over, it slowed you down to, like, half speed or something like that. That would be cool. And if you, like, roll through it, you don't get the effect, or if you jump over it, you don't get the effect. But if you're actually walking on it or forced to walk on it, then you'd have to, you get slowed or something like that, rather than straight up fall to your death glass. But anyway, no, right. That aside,
yeah, I think it's a pretty solid overview of Skyhammer map.
I think it's great.
Yeah, and I guess in terrible segue fashion, we'll do a quick talk about the Cutthroat Politics update, only because I want to get your opinion on, like, the middle bullet, because, like, the first bullet is, you know, whatever, then the third bullet is a joke. But the main aspect of the next update is Evan, whatever his name is, Ellen Keel, and scroll up to find his name, Evan Nashblade of the Black Lion Trading Company are both the NPCs vying for the Captain's Council. And so with any, like, you know, political race, they're offering, you know, all sorts of goodies for people who vote for him. So for Evan Nashblade, if he wins, he slashes prices of Black Lion keys for 4 whole weeks. So woohoo, but at the same time, those will go on sale in, like, December or whatever, so that's whatever.
Sure.
Whereas alternatively, Ellen Keel will reduce waypoint travel price for 4 weeks. Okay. And then the third bullet point is they're both going to introduce a rotating schedule of activities like Crab Toss and South Sun Survival. Like, I think the wording for each of them is changed ever so slightly, but it's the exact same thing. The main interest is if Nashblade wins, he'll sponsor important, like, basically we'll get a Fractal of the Mist dungeon about the fall of Abaddon to be completed by the end of this year. And with Ellen Keel, it's going to be one about the Thermonova reactor, the one in the midget starting zone. I can't remember what they're called.
What?
Asura?
Asura.
Damn. I don't remember.
They're short.
They are.
They're dwarves. I can't call them dwarves. Gnomes.
I don't remember a reactor. There.
Well, no. Okay. Do you know the meta event with the giant flame thing?
Oh, the flame elemental.
Yeah, that place is the reactor, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll do a quick Guild Wars wiki. But that place is a, what's really your guys' thoughts on? A little. It's frustrating. But what's your guys' thoughts on the idea of, like, voting for which fractal we want to get?
I think it's lame because they should give us both. But, you know, that's me.
I would care more if it wasn't a fractal.
Oh, but why? Because I think it's a good thing for it to be a fractal.
Fractals to me are the least interesting thing in this game.
Because
they are
random,
the least interesting thing, but they're a way to get access to some of these things, like things like a dungeon about, like, lore wise tying it into the game, like a dungeon about the fall of Abaddon. You could go back in time, so to speak, to see that, like, to experience the fall of Abaddon.
Right. Which you played through Guild Wars 1, for people who don't know. So
yeah. Like, I understand, like, the whole gameplay of having to just keep randomly doing, like, you know, hoping to get that lucky roll of getting the fall of, like, of that special fractal, but that's their way of making it work.
I think it's a great social experiment.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, ANET could say, we're going to roll this out, and you like it or you don't like it, where people can choose and vote, and then they can go, I can't believe that these people voted for that. That's not what I wanted. You know, I like the idea, to be honest. Make it a vote. Make it everybody – it's people choose what they want.
Basically how it works, I'm sure you'll get like a big letter in the mail and all that explaining it. We get a coin, and depending how we flip it and turn it in will depend – like one side is Evan Nashblade and the other is Alan Keel. And that's how they'll, that's how they will tally all the votes.
Wait, so it's not that the one that wins will be put out first. It's that's the only one that's going to be put out for the fractal.
I think that's the only one, because like if elected, they will sponsor those things.
But you don't get to play them, or do you get to like see, like get an idea?
Well, no, I mean like it's no, we don't get to see any demos or anything of either of those. It's just that like this is as far as I know. It's going to be about, like, you know, the reactor, and it's going to be out by the end of the year, and, like, that's all we know.
Yeah. Right. I just end up, then it'd be almost a non-issue for me, because they're really hit and miss for those fractals, like, to be honest. Sometimes they're freaking amazing, like Snowblind, and sometimes they're freaking boring. So I would just go for the one that you personally like the other effect of. Like, do you want Black Lion keys? I don't, but yeah, that'd be cool. I'd go for the one that reduces waypoint costs because I'm a poor bastard. So I don't know. I don't know.
But it's great. It gives you a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, on that aspect, you know, I mean, you could have somebody that loves one thing and hates the other, but you're like, I don't care about that.
I think I love
that aspect.
I think you're right in saying that it's a really great social experiment, because Arena has made a point that they're trying to do new and different things, and this is the first time I've heard of something like this being done. So yeah,
Duren, as our resident MMO, like on a wide spectrum enthusiast, has any other MMOs tried something like this?
Like that, the idea of like the voting for content thing,
voting for content, voting in general. I mean, like, it's, I know a couple of MMOs are like vote, like you can vote for like a guild or a position to hold a like office in like,
Terra actually has like a political system in it. And, but actually like voting on actual content going into the game, the closest I can really say is the user generated stuff in things like Neverwinter, because it is all curated by the community, but actual like developed by the developers content, not that I've heard of. No.
Pretty cool.
Cool.
And everyone all listening is going to be on the, you know, front row seat for all the excitements.
all the excitements.
Yes. All plurals.
The plurals of them.
Excitements such as, this is interesting wording, but new activity, South Sun Survival, which starts near the end of July, about the time this podcast comes out, I think.
Are other activities considered to be like the crab stuff? And
I think so. Well, it's like this is a new activity, whereas the other thing, the Aspect Arena, which actually I linked a picture in our Skype call, so check that out, especially you, Cynic, is a new PvP activity. Oh, and God. I'm just curious what the difference of those are.
So this PvP activity is based on those powers you get.
I figured you'd like that, so that's...
If this is... okay, so when I first saw the paintings on the ground, because for people don't know, like, if you see these specific paintings, that gives you an idea of what power you can use in a specific spot. When I saw that, I was really excited. And then I saw that there's, like, emptiness outside of this arena, and what are probably going to be infinite drops everywhere. And like I said, with the glass thing, I think that's the worst thing ever.
Well, it sounds like with the Aspect Arena, you will be armed with those, like the
powers.
Super mobility powers.
Yeah.
So it won't be as much of a hindrance. For the South Sun Survival, Let me just read out the description. Tell me if this rings a bell with anything you've seen with Guild Wars prior.
I just want to say, this looks old. I want to play this crazy mobility map. This sounds...
Oh, yeah. The Aspect Arena looks... I will definitely be trying out. It looks very nice.
If they give you infinite uses, this could be the coolest. This could be really cool.
Yeah. Oh no. Just wait. Scheme, kill, and scavenge your way to the top of in this new competitive activity. Armed with only a bow and whatever supplies you can find, you'll face off against other players in a battle to be the last one standing. Earn karma and coins for each round you play, plus a rare chance at an exclusive back item.
This sounds like Hunger Games.
Yeah, this sounds like the Hunger Royale that we did in the beta.
Oh, shit.
See, I don't remember that. I was not a part of the beta. So
It was easily the best content they've made for this game.
Okay.
Well, I mean, during Syndic, you guys were like, just recap what that was. Maybe get Squiddle's take on it.
Well, basically, essentially what it was, like, it was like a huge amount of people all loaded into this kind of sectioned off area of.
We were in a whole zone.
The jungles by the Asura area.
Yeah.
It was like kind of this big sectioned off area. And I mean, if you've seen the movie Hunger Games, it was similar to that, where like, except we were like kind of designated in teams. But they were like, they kind of drop everybody into the map around the same area, and then you just kind of scatter or head towards the resources, whatever the case is. You'll find resources around the map. You have very little health, and you also you actually have some kind of a hunger meter, right?
What it was is your like standard abilities, weapon, and skill abilities.
Yeah, all of that
were locked out, and you had a special one. Like one was, I think, like a gun. In this case, it would be a bow. But then also there were supplies you'd scavenge, one of which was ammo, another is food.
What Duren was talking about specifically is like your health is always going down. It wasn't like
your health is always going down, doesn't regenerate.
Yeah.
That sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
I would love something levels the playing field. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't have to be like, this thief's more powerful than this guardian.
Some of the people just found really good places to hide. Like, that was essentially the best. Yeah,
well, good place to hide, but then also near the end, there is the silliness of the robots, which, Duren, you want to explain that?
Yeah, so like when you died, basically you became this robot that was just kind of, you could follow around. And then you had like a couple of abilities. The only one I remember is it was basically kind of like a little radar pulse.
Yeah.
You could let other people know where resources were, I think.
Mm-hmm. So you could that, drop and then like ammo or...
Yeah, you could drop ammo.
Yeah, you could drop ammo. Yeah. Yeah, and so like you could use that to kind of help your teammates. Because the whole thing was like, again, this was like large team-based.
Yeah.
And so there was always kind of this leaderboard showing up on the screen that you can kind of see which teams were ahead and which ones were behind. And your goal, even if you died, was to continue helping your team so that your team was victorious in the end.
Right.
So you'd end up like by the end was just masses of robots following like one dude trying to keep alive for their team.
Because I think you could heal as was there like a heal pulse as well? Or no, there was a shield. There was a shield.
I don't think. Yeah, there was a shield to push people away.
Yeah,
and drop ammo. So that was the only ways you could directly help them.
So you have like these robots going up to the enemy and just like shielding them to disorient them, and then your dude would just shoot them a couple times. Then all the robots would drop ammo, and you just roll on. It'd just be like the Zerg of robots, especially when everyone's dead near the end. It was really cool. Literally Squiddle, it's about as good as you're imagining it, because it was really good, except for maybe it went a little bit too long. Like it went maybe like 10 minutes too long, but aside from that, it was fucking, it was great. It was great.
Well, I like the idea of like a fast pace type, you know, I love Twitch multiplayer games to the fact, you know, you go in there, you die, respawn, run in there, die, respawn. I mean, much like, you know, I guess you could say like Hotline Miami, if it was multiplayer, be awesome. And to have that kind of gameplay in Guild Wars would be
Hunger Games is the opposite, because it's all about like a long, slow survival kind of thing. But this
I never watched Hunger Games, so the idea is
you start off with limited resources and then you collect everything you can to stay. Literally the description there wasn't just said at the start, but anyway, though, you collect everything you can, and so like the
you never watched Hunger Royale the game in the beta, or you've never seen Hunger Games the movie?
Both.
Okay, do you know What's the new one that came out, Cynic? There's a really bad version of it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch bad movies.
It's the new Twilight series. Whatever it's called.
Oh.
Whatever. We'll
Divergent? Is that the one you're talking about? Like that's just supposed to be pretty good, but.
But yeah, basically this like for any mature listeners of the show, Hunger Games is a very good movie.
I thought it was absolutely terrible, but okay. If you want to sell it like that, if you want to make the Linky Cost party line, though it was good,
I'm sorry. Hunger Games is a terrible movie. Battle Royale is a good movie. That is
shit. Actually, how did we not say that? Squiddle, have you seen Battle Royale?
No.
What?
I gotta look it up. Maybe I have, and I don't know the
name.
It's
a Japanese movie. It's Japanese.
No, I have not.
Okay, it's like a pop culture icon. It's incredibly good.
Very much a cult classic.
Bring this all back to the Hunger Games.
Bring it back to Guild Wars.
The point is, Squiddle, is that it went for like 28 minutes or so, and you only get one life. And once you're dead, you're dead. Like it was not a quick respawn. Like constant health generating thing, it encouraged slow gameplay, scavenging, finding stuff, staying alive as long as possible, hiding from other people, that kind of stuff. So
like what most people hate in CS campers.
Yeah, this is it's made for campers.
Everybody's waiting for the first person to make the move and mm-hmm. then snipe them from a far distance.
Basically, it's DayZ for in a minigame fashion in Guild Wars.
Yeah. But ended up really, really fun. It got hugely positive responses from most people. And we loved it. Like, the Glinkencast crew loved it at the time. So
I still love it. That's the main things for the upcoming update for end of July, start of August, I guess.
I think that if I was to make a recommendation, I'd choose this crazy new one with the... Not the Hunger Games one, but this one with the...
The Aspect Arena.
Aspect Arena looks really... Because that sounds like what Squiddle would want.
Well, actually, the neat thing about both those is that they're bringing like two more new exclusive back items. The name has me interested. Like the South Sun Survival, you have a chance to, I believe, to get the Desert Rose back item, which I think is going to be like the rose we got from... Or the flower we got from the South Sun activity.
You're struggling to make me care.
Well, No. I absolutely love that. Being part of the Flower Legion, I love that flower on my back.
Some listeners might enjoy that back item, and the fact that you can only put that on one character is a bit of, like, of an annoyance for someone who has, like, 380s. Right. I know, first world problems. The other thing for the Aspect Arena is a Zephyr Rucksack, so just a fancy backpack, I reckon. But it's nice that there's reason to do both of them and not just one. And also...
We're getting both of these?
Yeah.
I thought I thought this was part of the vote.
Well, it is part of the vote, but either one you vote for, both of them are backing it.
Oh, okay. So both are, no matter who you vote for, we're probably going to get both.
If Ellen Keel wins, she'll introduce a rotating schedule of activities such as Crab Toss and South Sun Survival.
Okay.
And if Evan Ashblade wins, he'll host a rotation of popular activities like Crab Toss and South Sun Survival.
Was Crab Toss popular? Was it really? Like, did that happen?
I hope not.
Like what world?
I didn't
did
like
that
Crab
happen?
Toss.
I feel like Crab Toss is just their way of just like poking fun at all the people who still remember the Karka event and the nightmares from just Crab Toss of.
Man.
Playing keep away, but also while there's this giant thing just roll like steamrolling people in just a tiny arena. But yeah, the Aspect Arena doesn't seem to be a permanent thing. I imagine once all the Zephyr ships start leaving port, so to speak, again, and the selection business is over with, that'll be phased out for the next year.
Well, I'm going to wait and see if it's actually any good. But if it's good, I'm going to be really disappointed when it turns out to be temporary.
You're excited about it, right? The idea of it?
I'm excited for everything except for the drops. I'm hoping that it's got a quick respawn timer and there's no points based off death. If I was to guess, it looks like you have to either like take something from the center to your place or take something from your place to the center. And it's going to be like a speed-based kind of challenge or something like that. If I was to guess by looking at this thing. So that sounds really fun.
Are you excited for new abilities with catapults in World versus World?
Absolutely not, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is actually the first one I am intrigued about the design, because this, like, goes into the whole skilling up system basically being a way of introducing advanced tactics. Because with the catapult, you get an ability to reflect projectiles for like 3 seconds, and then it's like a 20-second recharge. But basically, the idea is you get like 10 catapults in the same spot, and there's no way they can counter siege you, because you just have people constantly putting that shield up at the right time.
Hmm. Are you advocating more ways to break World versus World? That just happened to me?
No, it's okay. There used to be a way to do this, and they've since phased it out with Elementalists and Guardians. They had abilities to block it. And basically, I called it a mini game they never intended called Baseball.
Okay.
Where it's like, okay, as the giant boulder's coming, get ready to swing. And it was a fun thing, but a lot of people either didn't know about it or weren't prepared. So this is their way of like, all right, we've since fixed that bug, and now we're actually incorporating that into the game.
So it's a thing that the community liked.
I enjoyed it. I think when enemies were doing it, it was a nice back and forth thing. And you can still just steamroll, just like Zerg over the siege, which I'm sure a lot of people still do. So it's cool, whatever.
Sure.
But that more or less covers the cutthroat politics part. We'll talk about what self-confessed cynic has been up to lately, and then we'll go into the blog post.
Oh, gee, no, we should start someone who's been playing less, because
have done a lot of talking. Maybe we make Durin do a bit of talking.
If you say Final Fantasy 14, we're moving on.
No. It's the beta has the next phase has not started, so I have not been playing that.
Okay.
I've been playing.
Are you going through withdrawal syndrome?
No, only because I know that when the next beta phase starts, it's going for good. Like, I can actually play it. Like, beta phase 4 starts, but then, like, those characters are carrying over to live.
Oh, nice.
Even though it's technically a beta.
I have a quick question on the Final Fantasy thing, and I hope this doesn't get me in trouble. Is this the reboot of the MMO?
Yes.
Where
this is the reboot of the MMO that released in 2010.
Okay, I just want to make sure that when you talk about it, I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is nothing that original. This just has the same name.
The only MMO that has ever been pulled and rebuilt from the ground up.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited to hear how that plays out. I'm not a Final Fantasy person, but I love the idea of someone going, fuck the people who are playing. We're going to pull this, make it better in some form or fashion, and put it back out.
Yeah.
I like the ability. I like the balls on some. Yeah,
in some ways, it's going to kind of make or break the company from the sound of things.
Which is kind of scary.
So I hope it goes. I hope it goes well for them. It seems real solid so far. I'm hopeful.
I swear, if Final Fantasy 14 brings down Square Enix, and freaking Atlas is now for sale, and if neither of those companies land on their feet, I'm quitting gaming, because those are two.
Wait, what if we all move to Final Fantasy 14?
I like this plan.
We'll say it ourselves. But no, back to what I've actually been playing, because I have not been playing that.
Yeah.
Mostly, like, I've been really busy with work, so I haven't really had a ton of time to play this last week. But what I have been playing is the Steam trading card
game. Fuck you. What?
Damn. Times and earned 6 summer getaway trading cards by voting. I only need 4 times to get another one.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I got to get in my account here. Let me see where I'm at.
Just like got a foil. Not from that, but he got a foil Orcs Must Die 2 card, and I'm so jealous.
Oh, you assholes. What the fuck?
The worst part was, like, I was listening to Brad on the Bombcast talking about it when it was in beta. I'm, like, listening to this, I'm like, why would anyone care about this? Like, you're talking about virtual trading cards that literally have no value or use at all.
Yeah, that you're right. You're exactly correct.
I mean, like, neither do baseball cards from the 50s, but people care about those.
It's a social experiment. It is collecting, and people love hoarding and collecting. It makes great sense in
it's brilliant
money making way. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's because a terrible thing from anyone who participates in it, but Steam is making pretty interesting.
I'm checking Steam on my phone to see if I'm able to vote again.
Not yet.
Piece of shit.
I think we have like 2-3 hours, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
fucking hate.
I have nine cards, and some of them are doubles.
You are going through withdrawal syndrome, just not with Final Fantasy. With Steam trading cards.
Yeah. God, what else?
What is happening?
Hey, I have a Durin. I have 2 Torchlight 2 ones. I can trade you, or 3 actually right now.
I actually already have a Torchlight 2.
Okay. I'm looking for a Skyrim one. If you have doubles, let me know.
Oh God! Okay. God! You need to talk about video games.
Durin, do you have anything you've been playing other than Steam?
I've played a little bit of Final Fantasy VII recently.
Sure.
Anything with the summer sale?
Anything with the actually, I own so fucking many games. I don't buy them anymore when they're on sale. I look at it and everything that's a good value, I already own.
Sucks.
I've hit that point where like I will see a game and be like, oh man, that looks cool and that's a good price. I'll click on it and it'll say, you already own this game. And then I'm just sad because clearly that means I didn't play it after I bought it.
Yeah.
The day that Steam integrates a list of how much money you spent over the course of your account.
Oh, there are web
games.
Yeah, you can already do that.
I'm not going to go there. I refuse, unless it's on Steam, I refuse to accept that it is real out there. Well, and
the biggest difference is like they don't generally take into account when you've bought things on sales. So like they take into account generally whatever that current price is.
Right.
So like mine will say like $1,500. I have not spent $1,400 on games on Steam.
Yeah.
A fraction of that because most of what I buy is on sale. But yeah, Steam sales, they're a bitch.
It's the first year it's really hit me, to be honest. So yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing I've really been playing a little bit of, and I mean a little bit, I just started like last night before bed. Cynic, you'll enjoy this. So my friend's an asshole and he bought me Dark Souls.
Oh shit. Yes.
I wish somebody would buy me Dark Souls so I could understand. I refuse to pay money for that game.
It's really good.
I know it's a great game. I get that, but yeah, I don't want
to. As long as I didn't buy it, then I didn't have to play it. I thought it was safe. And now last night I played basically like the tutorial, which is what I had played on the PS3. So I got basically up to the point where I'm no longer familiar with the game. I'm like, all right, I'm done for tonight. yeah, that game, I installed the DS fix and that helps a lot. I like it's a pretty game now. I'm using a controller though, cause I'm not a crazy person.
Yeah. That is a controller game.
Apparently like the DS fix, like makes the keyboard and mouse controls usable. But that game was never meant for keyboard and mouse. So
character action games should not be played with keyboard and mouse. Fuck it. Fuck no, everyone who thinks otherwise.
Unless there is a reticle on the screen, you should not be using keyboard and mouse.
And yeah, that's pretty much right.
Yeah, so like I know.
For those out there who don't know what a reticle is, if there's not a crosshair on the screen, I just want to throw that out there.
I respect our audience more than that. But no,
yeah, I just assumed. I mean, but no, yeah. So I plan on getting deeper into that this weekend.
I hope you do get deeper into, because all right, remember for people who hadn't heard when I went through that game, I ended up thinking that game was pretty good, but not like the best thing ever, like some people think it was. But I definitely think it's one of those games that everyone should probably check out, because if you do like it, then it's really, really good. I'd probably give it like an 8.5 or 8 out of 10, but it's just a solid game. There's nothing else that plays like it. And that's the main reason why I'd say for people to check it out, because it's pretty much unique. It's a very unique game.
I like the back and forth between the people making it and the people playing it, where it's like there it's almost like a game of Dungeons and Dragons or something, where the D&D is like trying to make this well crafted story. And the people playing are just people who are trying to find every way possible to game the system and piss off the DM.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's just going back and like, oh, you guys beat that? Well, fine. Just try and beat. God damn it, you beat that too. No, don't climb over the fence. Just go down the hallway. Damn
but,
it. No.
But sometimes they get it right, and you have something like Smaug and Ornstein, which is a boss like three quarters way through that game that fucking destroys. Like Matthew Rory took like five tries each, upwards of 20 minutes to beat that one boss. And that's exactly how they want that game to play. And that's it's moments like that that make you go, oh, okay, this is why this game is pretty awesome. So,
if you're a fan of Metascores, it has an 85 out of 100.
Hey, I'm on the yay. Yeah, I'm on the curve there, in the middle of the curve. That's pretty cool.
Son of a bitch, I got a second chivalry card.
Fuck you. All right, let's get back on topic.
Wait, chivalry? Hold on, let me see what I have on my chivalry.
Get back on topic.
Moving on to Guild Wars 2.
I don't have chivalry. I'll trade you a Tomb Raider one.
Do you have a living story with the two-week schedule release?
I'll take it.
So is this different from what we talked about last week?
Go fish.
No?
Go
fish.
All right. What about a second half of the year that is a mix of permanent and more impactful content?
I
like the permanent part because
I would have to say I just have Johnny Gat. That's about
what,
it.
What does that mean? More impactful content. More what do you guys think that means? More just like
I think it kind of goes along with the permanent. Like the stuff that being temporary doesn't have an impact on the world because once it's gone, it's gone. The world is like it was before. So I think just by it being permanent, it will be more impactful.
Yeah, I mean when I think impactful, I think Lion's Arch back underwater type stuff. I think not being able to go back there is your main hub. That
you
kind
really
of stuff.
Want to destroy Lion's Arch, don't you?
I don't want to destroy it, but I want to see physical.
It's those RPs, man. They really creep him out, and when he goes there, he just feels dirty. So he just wants that entire place to be wiped off the map.
I really don't blame him though.
I can sort of see Squiddle as just like the crazy evangelist. Like in some like off street downtown sort of thing, who's telling you about
and high on top the mountain, Lion's Arch will fall, and the people will rejoice amongst the dirt and the cloud of smoke that come,
and all the sinners will burn,
billowing clouds of evil.
Oh god, yeah.
When the fuck did this become Bioshock Infinite?
I don't know. When you know what? It became Bioshock Infinite when we had an infinite number of Zephyr airships show up.
Sure, yeah, at the start of the podcast.
Boom, tie-in. All right, but okay. I guess the first big bullet point I want to talk about, because we discussed the two-week content stuff in earnest last week, but progression advancement. Basically, they want to retool that whole system. And the way I thought that would accurately describe this was they don't want to make a game that has a carrot on a stick mechanic like other MMOs, releasing like, you know, a new dungeon every 3 to 6 months sort of thing. They just want to make a buffalo on a toothpick.
What do you, I don't even understand. Wait, the first part that, of what you just said.
You had to explain the buffalo on a toothpick thing. I don't.
Okay. Well, it's okay. The carrot on a stick is like, oh, here's this little prize that only a little bit can get, and it's just out of reach. Mm-hmm. The buffalo is this giant thing that you can get very easily because it's a toothpick, because they're basically progressing crafting up to 500, so you can do that. They're just throwing everything at us instead of just like high-end dungeoning.
They're basically making expansion content without making an expansion.
Yeah. We can agree that. Yeah.
Whoa, no, I wouldn't say that.
Like, well, no, they are, because here's the thing, Cynic. When you look at an MMO expansion, the big bullet points that tend to happen that you just kind of expect. Like let's take WoW for example.
Sure.
When they release an expansion, there is a level cap increase, which means you have new spells and abilities.
Yep.
There is an increase in crafting up to a new level, which then adds, you know, new recipes and new items. New dungeons, you know, new raids, but obviously we don't have that. Mm-hmm. New PvP stuff. Generally, a big rebalancing of the classes themselves.
But the main things for me in expansion is new landmass to explore and new classes and PvP stuff, right? And they're not giving me those two things. They're just giving us everything else, like how'd Shinboy describe it? It was like the small things. They mean the crafting stuff. They're giving you the more.
Yeah, it's the small things because it's the easy stuff to make that they can make very quickly.
Yeah, it's like the little things.
It's not just the small things. They're giving us new abilities.
Oh well, yeah, that we'll talk about separately.
Well, actually,
but
we will talk about that. Actually, we discuss that right now. I vaguely recall at the beginning of the release, like data miners had found that we like, you know, we have 100 skills, but they had found upwards of like 200 total.
Right.
And like ones with like crazy names and whole different ability descriptions. Mm-hmm. Do we think like this is just the like the backlog of like ideas that have been coming out throughout probably. The whole year? Like, okay, we'll start releasing some of these.
Yeah, probably. But that doesn't really affect the positives or the negatives of it. That's probably how it's going to work out. Like they've probably been thinking about these skills for quite a while. Maybe a couple of them have been recent, but a lot of these skills like that are probably stuff they just didn't feel were balanced enough or they couldn't put the polishing work into before the game released, and they're going to be putting that now. Like I remember us being really surprised when they broke skills down into tiers, because there's just like a couple of skills in each tier, especially some of the later tiers, and it's just like why even bother? Why don't, because Guild Wars 2, for those who don't at home who don't remember, used to just allow you to buy any skill you want out of the gate, and there was only like 30 or 40 or whatever there is today. But now that they broke it up into tiers to give you a sense of progression, in inverted commas. And it was really weird because that meant you were like really limited in what you could do out of the gate because the tiers were really weird. But yeah, it's kind of like filling that out. And that's not kind of the point of it. Like the thing about the skills thing is it can either be the most awesome thing ever or the most boring thing ever, depending how they do it. Right.
Yeah. Well, and a question for actually, well, let's scoodle this one first. Do you think that, like, because I remember Guild Wars 1 had a thing where it was like a lot of the either new abilities were introduced to the PvE only, or the abilities PvE version was just OP to all get out, and then they just worked on balancing the PvP stuff.
Yeah.
So, Squids, do you think they're going to introduce a lot of stuff for PvE and WoW only? I'm just making you talk instead of sin.
I just want to. I never
give him some chance to breathe.
I never played Guild Wars 1.
Well, no, but just the baseline question: do you think that? Because I'm sure you've read through this blog post.
Sure.
So it's. Do you think they've worded it the right way, where it's going to be for all across the board, or just the PvE WoW that, like that? That's where people are really, you know, digging in for new abilities and something to do and strive for.
I don't know. I mean, I know there is a camp for people that really like WoW. But for me, I'm not I don't log in when the occasional time that I do right now and say, I'm going to play WoW. That's not what I do. So.
I am right there with you.
I guess I could say, I hope it's more broad than just WoW.
Well, that's why I said PvE and WoW.
Right, but I don't know if it'll be both, though. I mean, I've seen them do more, at least from what I've seen, if I'm not mistaken, hopefully, do either PvP or WoW. I've rarely seen them do both, or if I've not noticed that it doesn't cut them kind of both. If they did, awesome. I mean, that would be great, but that's not going to appeal to me. I would rather them focus more on the PvE aspect of stuff.
Well, we're talking about the like skills and abilities and whatnot. So like you get a new elite ability that obviously only works on the PvE WoW side opposed to the SPvP. What's your take on this?
Yeah. Do you want me to give my thesis or should Durin go first?
Durin, you want to try? Yeah, just go ahead, Cynic.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing.
Oh, here we go.
when they've released, let's point to the recent past then. So the most recent stuff they've introduced is that new condition, right? The really cool one that gives you damage when you move and all that kind of stuff. They introduced that by adding three skills, one each for three classes. And I think they were for all game types. I don't think they were just for PvP, but they're going really slow with it. And from a point of balance, that's kind of how you want to do it from a balance perspective, right? There's only two ways of approaching any form of new like skills and stuff from a balance standpoint. Either put them in slowly, like a couple at a time, and ease people into it, give you plenty of time to rebalance them and then put out a second wave of new skills and so on and so forth. That is, however, the single most boring way of doing it, like, as imaginable. Like, the only thing they could do, have done worse is add one skill for one class and leave it there. Like, the awesome thing about an expansion or anything like that, or any form of, like, crazy new content, is the complete reset. It's the, let's throw a bunch of shit at the wall, see what sticks, see what doesn't, let everyone figure shit out for themselves, give everyone, like, a huge shot in the arm of a bunch of new things to experiment with, and that works best if they do that for all game types. So what they would probably do, if I was asked what they would probably do, is I think, as you say, Thurbleton, they'll probably release a couple of skills for each class. Some of them were PvP only, or so some of them would be both, because there's very few things, even in Guild Wars 1, that were PvP only. Some of the things would be both, and the other ones would be for just PvE and World War. And I think they'll continue to group PvP, PvE and World War. I don't think, like, for example, there's some things that are really important to World War. Like, if they, for example, released a skill that was equivalent to Ride the Lightning, but for Warriors, that would change World War significantly, because that would increase, like, the balancing act between the mobility of classes, and make Warriors almost as fast as Thieves, for example. They would only do that, in my opinion, if they were doing that for PvE as well, and that would be a PvE World War only skill. So what I expect them to do, and this is hopefully not the way that they do it, is release, like, maybe 5 skills for each class, maybe 2 of which are PvE only and OP as fuck, which is kind of what you want them to be, like you said, and the other 3 to be on all over all game types. Like, that's how they'll probably do it, if you were to ask me. And the way I don't them to. I don't want them to do that anymore. I want them to release freaking 15 new skills for each class and just go go. Just go. Do it.
You always just want the crazy from whatever Guild Wars is talking about coming out.
I'm still waiting for that expansion feeling in my heart with a new class. Like, I want to start from scratch again. Put my hands deep in that goo and pull out the builds. Like, the deep freaking theory crafting.
Okay, this is getting weird. Oh, yeah. Dura, what's your thoughts?
I don't really have any.
Fair enough.
I mostly because I've fallen out of enjoying the PvP in the game enough to care what they do with the balancing. Though I feel like they just need to give up and separate PvP whole cloth from PvE. Like, balance SPvP and WoW together and balance PvE separately. If they're really going to be going,
structured.
That is definitely an option they could do, because I know a lot of people talked about how they straight up love the PvP, but like they almost wish that they had just bought a $20 or $30 game that was just the PvP.
Man, me and Durin have been saying this for like half a year, pretty much since the game came out.
I know you are some of those people
that just freaking do a free to play, just Guild Wars 2, just structured PvP. Out there and make it awesome, and we've been saying that.
I'd pay $20 for it.
I think it would be great as a free to play game, because you can't compete with Dota unless you're. Well, it's not going to anyway. Let's put that out first. It's not going to compete with Dota.
Yeah,
but people will try it if it's free.
Differently, entire genre.
Yeah, but people will try it if it's free, and they probably wouldn't necessarily try it, especially not now if it's $20. But yeah, no.
I guess before we go into the next topic of, you know, rewards and whatnot. And I guess we'll talk about traits too, but that's
Thurbleton, like the talent. You didn't say what you'd want. Do you want skills to be PvP only and PvE only, or do you want them to put out a lot at once or a few at once and slowly roll them out, or what do you think is going to happen?
I'm predicting something like everyone will get an equivalent number of the current elites. So we'll get 4 to 5 each.
Wow. So each class get 4 new elites?
Something like that. But
that would be the kind of crazy I want. So I'm with you on that one.
But. Well, okay. It's going to be like that, but then it's also going to be another tier of skill points. So it's going to be 50 for each skill.
Oh. So you mean more skill points required to buy the skill in the first place?
Yeah. Because the whole idea of this new stuff is progression and stretching that out even more. Like not insane amount, like not like 100 skill points, but definitely in that ballpark.
That's crazy. So, but new elites only, not you. Well, they've already said they're going to be adding new utility skills, haven't they?
Like, well, not already... like not new elite. I said an equivalent number like the elite, so like spread out along there.
Right. But do you expect them to be adding like utility skills? Because I was always wanting them to put out a new weapon, like new weapons from the start, like just have entirely
new weapon type.
Yeah. So like, for example, a great axe for the warrior. And a couple of other classes, which would be entirely different from the greatsword, because maybe it'll be like single target only DPS or something like that, and just make it different.
Part of the thing is they can't just release one weapon type, because like that will definitely be a really cool thing, but also get that you can't make one weapon designed for all seven classes.
Oh yeah, but that I could see them so releasing release three weapons.
Like three weapons, yeah, exactly.
Three weapons that completely, I think, because. A big criticism that's been leveled against Gear Wars from the start is that once you unlock those first five skills in your weapons, that's pretty much most of the game. That's pretty much the rest of your 60 to 80 hours to get to level 80 and whatever time you put into PvP with that character. And you can change the utility skills and you can change your weapons out, obviously, but it's still like those 15 to 20 to 25 skills that you kind of learn. And especially for some people who gravitate to specific weapons, like for me it's the axe and the greatsword and the rifle. Those three weapons are my favorite for the warrior, and the shield, I guess, so four.
Lots of cool weapons and whatnot, but to be honest, I think the headache of trying to balance all these skills and traits is going to keep the like PvP side guys focused for the foreseeable future, as well as the general class for the PvE side. But then early 2014, or at least on the docket for 2014, might be weapons.
Oh man, but we're spreading this. Well, they are spreading this out so thin.
So can I interject in one thing that I've been hearing? So I feel that we're leaving out one important aspect of the game. You know, we talk about PvP, PvE, and then you have WoW.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about it?
Okay, so the changes that they would make in PvP, let's say they decided to go two different tiers. You have PvE, and they give you whatever you have, and then you go to PvP, and you have whatever you have. Which one does WoW feed off of?
PvE.
WoW feeds off PvE.
Yeah.
But should it? Yes. That's, I guess, my question.
Because what World versus World is not balanced. It is a just large scale, like they've never gone into detail about what part of it is not balanced, whether it's the map design, whether it's like there's just parts of it that are intentionally like this has really like very big disadvantages with this point, or we don't really care what everyone's abilities are because it might be a 50 on 5. And so it's just like, yeah, it's just PvE abilities.
Yeah, because like at that point, it doesn't really matter what your abilities are. It just...
There's so many factors that go into effect other than what a person's abilities are. It don't matter none. And they've already actually made a split between structured and PvE / WoW abilities on like a small scale. I think there's like maybe a dozen abilities over all the classes so far.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted everyone's opinion on that because I would like to see... In a weird way, I would like to see WoW as the PvP in the way that they would balance it, but I know it's damn near impossible to do that.
Hmm.
And have the gigantic battle and raid type thing that you would.
I mean, I think they can balance it without the need of having to change personal player abilities, as well as like it's like they've introduced some of that with the WoW experience thing, getting new abilities for siege weapons. Yeah, I mean, that's a wait and see sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy because if they do like start releasing really unbalanced PvE skills, this is what they did with the original Guild Wars, and from one perspective, is that's going to make it really fun for people like me who just are content tourists, so I like being overpowered. But if you bring those skills into WoW, it can change some things. So you're probably right there. Maybe they should distance themselves between the two a little bit more, but we'll see how
it goes. From a retired commander of WoW, the biggest thing I've seen is like as a game changer is this catapult, which is like the 20th update they've done to making slight changes.
Right.
So it's they're definitely going a slow slow stroll with that as well.
Yeah.
I guess
I'm sick of slow trolls, man. I just want them to sprint. I just want them to freaking do whatever the fuck and just have fun with it. But they seem so slow and self-serious. I don't know.
It takes a long time to make stuff, and they want to make sure that
it makes a long time to make good stuff. That's the difference. But yes, sometimes things that are a bit broken can be really, really fun, and that's
right. But you're going to get chastised by more than 30% of the community probably if you were to do that. I mean, a lot of us would love that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would love it. Just be like, hey, here's a new thing. Have at it.
Yeah.
But if they haven't, you know, tested it, people are going to be like, this is broken. I'm quitting this game. And they lose revenue. So,
and you know what's funny? They've actually done a lot of it with these, like, these activities we see, like the keg brawl and all that. It's just this first pet peeve, but it's opt-in single player. You can't get your friends to play with you.
Right.
But a lot of great new elements and just fun designs with the game have been put into these mini games.
Yeah.
And well, more than that, most MMOs. I mean, on your opinion, does like this have like a ton of mini games compared to most MMOs? And it's only like it's less than a year shelf life, I think. No, just over 3 years.
Yes, actually, it does. Really? Especially because like they keep introducing more and more of them, and yeah, I mean sure, WoW probably has more in general, but like for how little time this has been out, there are a lot of little mini games in this game compared to a lot of other MMOs that are out there.
They just need to fine tune. Like they're 90% of the way there. If they can just get that last little bit of making it really easy for folks to get in and have a fun time doing it. Cause right now it's moderately fun. It's pretty good. And it's just, I don't really want to do a free for all with people I don't know while getting steamrolled by a Karka.
Just really random. That fact that they're matchmaking there.
So here's a thought. We talked about on the last podcast during our very brief talk of Guild Wars 2.
50 minutes out of 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah, that they reportedly are making money hand over fist on the gym store.
Right.
What do you guys think are the chances that within the next year to 2 years, they may just go 100% free to play? Just not even charge for the box.
If the gym store keeps up the way it is. I hope they don't, because I like the idea of the buy to play model, because that does keep like it, so long as they keep doing like the free weekends every now and then and giving folks a chance to get out there and try it still, that is awesome. But I like the idea of having a small wall to keep trolls away.
I would love to see a $20 sticker price on the game, or a $10 sticker price on the game, something like that. But the idea of having a bunch of new players in the game is pretty awesome, Durin, but my problem is, what does that mean for this first expansion? Because if the next expansion is free to play, that could just mess up like everything about the game.
I can see the next expansion free to play, but there's still that caveat of you have to buy the original game.
Oh, the original, yeah.
I feel they found a really good balance with the gem store, more than I would have ever thought. I mean, at least for me, I know that if I don't play a lot, I'm going to at least log in once or twice a month and check the gem store. And if there's something I want that I feel is, you know, worthy, I'm going to spend some money, get some gems, and get it. And it's a good balance for them. I don't know if you would get those same type of people if you had a base free to game play where it was – or free to game play. Wait,
free to play game.
Free to play game.
Wait, you know,
A Frito play game. Well, anyway, you know what I mean. But I don't think you would get the same – and I don't want to say quality of people, because I feel that seems very demanding.
No, it would absolutely be like – you wouldn't get the same quality, because you – I mean the biggest hurdle you would have is – even beyond the quality of players themselves, like actual players, obviously that would bring in a whole lot more farmers would have an issue with the economy. But I mean, you could also go the direction that some other free to play MMOs have done, granted mostly on the Asian side, where they strictly limit the account up to a certain level. And then once you've reached that level, like, you know, let's say level 15 or something, then it unlocks, you know, the full breadth of the game to you. Then you can whisper people, then you can send mail, that kind of stuff. That way it requires the player to actually play the game up to a certain extent, at least play the game for a few hours.
Sure.
Before they can really, you know, play it like everybody else.
I mean, I've noticed a lot less gold sellers in this game than any other game I've ever played, even when I log in as little as I do. I mean, I could log into WoW and I would still see people, you know, buy gold, this website, yada, yada. I don't see that when I log in, and they've done a really good job of that. I mean, I think it's with their model, they've done a very good job at curbing that that market.
Hmm.
Also, with free to play games, like solely free to plays, I don't think Squiddle talked about this, but the whole pay to win,
yeah,
that is like it's not with every free to play game, but there's always like as soon as it goes free to play, it's okay. You're just waiting to see when the pay to win mechanic starts showing up, as well as to the comment of making it free for a certain level. There's a tough thing with that of like you don't really want to limit whispers because let's say someone has questions, then you want to get a conversation in side chat. So that's a tough call, and there I don't think we've seen a perfect way of handling all that. But if anyone's willing to try new stuff, it's certainly ArenaNet. So I mean, that's again a wait and see thing,
right?
I mean, definitely. I mean, ArenaNet has a smaller player base, I would say, than WoW or EVE or anyone like that. So they have a very good potential to try.
I don't know about EVE.
I think EVE is less than a million.
But really? They are some hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like okay. 500,000.
Well, all right. Well, then retract EVE from that and input any bigger MMO out there. But I think that they have the ability to actually. To actually make changes like that. And, you know, I want to see that. I do.
Very cool. Well, I think we will take a quick break from the Guild Wars and talk about what Squiddle's been up to.
Oh, put me on the spot. Why don't you?
All right. Why don't I?
So
what's have you beaten that game with cat people and
Dust.
Crazy action moves?
No.
Dust and Elysian Tail.
I logged into it for about 30 minutes the other day, and someone said, hey, let's go play Borderlands 2, and I did. So,
Borderlands is I hear the kids love that Borderlands game.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, Borderlands. It's a great game. Build a wall and feel great about it, you know? But
any other indie games?
Indie games? Yes and – well, no. No. Well, yes. I actually started doing
– out with it, man.
I actually started doing Hotline Miami for the first time really liking that game.
I like that you speak of it as a drug. Like you started doing Hotline Miami now.
I started doing it. I started putting the rubber around my arm and tapping my vein real hard and just, you know, shooting that up.
Yeah, hi, my name's Thurbleton. I was addicted to Hotline Miami. I'm 3 days clean. 3 days.
but yeah, that you know is an indie game. That is a great, a stellar indie game. And really, really enjoying playing that. Well, okay, now.
Stellar. If you can, you know, put the veil behind the curtain of just wholesale slaughter.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. I am, okay.
Some people are not. Some people are like, what are you very playing?
How can you not like grabbing a knife and jumping on top of someone that you knock over while entering a door, slitting their throat, and then running to another room with a baseball bat, bashing them in the head? You miss the guy, grab him, and then smash his head into the ground. It's so relieving.
You could be Jack Thompson.
Okay, well.
Like, you are literally getting points for killing people with crazy music. Like, this game was made for him. I love it.
Does that guy still do stuff? Hasn't he quit?
No, he's been.
He's actually not legally allowed to. He didn't quit. His license was taken away.
Yeah, he got fired from the
good.
Out of a cannon.
But other than indie games, I guess I've been playing the. I'm trying to pull it up here to get the right name here. The Tiny Thief game. From the makers of on the iOS platform, I should say. On that iOS. From the makers of
Angry Birds. You mean with Smart Glass?
Yes, Smart Glass, that's right.
Oh god.
And that's it's been a fun game. It's a good game, good little puzzle game.
What is
I like it.
I have no idea what this is.
So Tiny Thief is something very different from Angry Birds. Essentially you have objectives you have to accomplish to get all the stars. Of course there's still stars in the game to get.
Sure.
But like, for instance, let's say you have to get a watermelon, go up on top of a ledge, and have a ferret eat the watermelon, which causes him to drop down and then attack the guard. The guard runs away, and then you get the ukulele. I mean, it's kind of like Goldberg-esque.
Like you kind of start a chain reaction specific ways to complete a task.
Yeah, and I really like that for a very quick. You know, I have about 5 minutes. I'm going to play this out, and then I'm done. Cool. And that's really the base of it, and I like it. The other game I've been playing is I love the Deus Ex series. Always loved it. Played it. I even bought the damn trench coat when Human Revolution went on sale.
Well, it's a nice trench coat.
It's a very nice trench coat. Yeah. And so I bought the Deus Ex.
Does it have that floral pattern on the back still, like that, like in the game?
It has it on the inside.
Okay.
Of the coat, so when you look in the inside, the lining has that. Has that very geometric pattern on it.
Right.
Unfortunately, I bought it a size one little too small. So I still have to lose weight to fit into it, unfortunately. But it's a process. It's a task.
Oh, man.
But I did buy the iOS version of the game. And it is very hard to play. I only have an iPhone. So it's very hard to see a lot of the script and text in the game. But I have attempted to try to play it with a very smart screen-esque style by using my Apple TV. To mirror what's on my iPhone onto the TV. And then when I have to look up to read text, I look up to the screen and read it, look back down, and then I can accomplish the shooting or maneuvers or hiding behind something. So it's been really fun trying to utilize the technology that they provide on both platforms to do that.
So essentially you have a Wii U, is what you're saying.
Yes.
You're playing a Wii U game.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And when I want to hurt my vision, I will try to play it directly on the iPhone and squint really hard to read text.
Sure.
But other than
my Wii U can play Earthbound.
Yes, it can. I wish I had a Wii U to play that.
Is it weird for you guys that a lot of the games like Deus Ex Human Revolution, XCOM Enemy Unknown, like these big games that we've seen on PCs and consoles are coming out on iOS now?
No, I've been calling the iPad a legitimate gaming platform for quite a while now. I'm surprised you're playing on an iPhone. You're a crazy person, but you should put the money down on an iPad.
Wait, the iPad, I can sort of see it.
Yeah,
but iPhone though. Remember, I'm playing it on the iPhone for the maneuverability. And here's what's cool. Okay, so I've tried to play many games on the Apple TV before, and the problem I have with it is you can't see your thumbs on your screen when you move around. So you don't have that tactile feeling of NES controller going back there, or a 64 controller that you can feel where you're touching. But with this game, what it does kind of like an overlay on the television with those very geometric shapes that you're used to of Deus Ex, and you can see where your thumbs are when you're moving.
That's kind of cool.
So it really lends itself to being able to be played in that faction.
So you can play it purely on the TV? Like, would you say it's playable?
You could. I would not recommend it because there are times where you have to look at the device and go, you know, really see where you're going. But if you got used to it, I would say yes. And I also want to say that I read an article this week that I don't know if it's the main developer or the company of Oculus Rift said that they are looking to design more the Oculus Rift platform towards handheld gaming.
That sounds like crazy speak. They're
looking because they see that they say that that's the new platform. You know, you have consoles and you have PCs, but they really want to break the Oculus Rift into a platform where, and this sounds really stupid, you could be on a bus with an Oculus Rift where you have your big screen plugging into a mobile device of some sort, be it be a Vita, a GBA or a Game Boy, whatever you want to call it nowadays, and or an iPhone or an Android, and then have that full screen right in your vision and play the game, which I think is a really good, really crazy, but good idea. I like that idea.
I could see that dystopian future. It's definitely dystopian, but I could see it.
It is.
Actually, I remember hearing something, this may or may not have been factual at the time, but it seems to be making sense now, that Microsoft wasn't really looking at Sony as a competitor for a lot of their, you know, what we would call interesting designs. They were looking at Apple.
Hmm.
And like trying to compete with just like that sort of the of demographic, I guess.
I think that the only people who can compete with iOS at the moment is Android. And
I don't know, the Ouya is making a big push,
and they're not doing a very good job. Like Android's gaming scene is just pretty shit compared. The iPad is, like, if you got an iPad Mini Squiddle, I think I'd highly recommend that purchase.
Well, I would, once the higher resolution display comes out, yeah. I will definitely jump on one.
Yeah.
But I just want to state, I pulled up the article because I really want to get this out and make sure I'm not misspeaking here. But it was stated by Oculus Rift CEO Brendan Irby. I was quoted saying that I love consoles, but initially we're a lot more excited with where mobile is going. And being able to plug in right into your next-gen cell phone is the innovation. And how fast cell phones are now improving, we will be the next Galaxy for the iPhone compared to where the consoles are now. So they're really looking at that idea of being able to be on a bus or a subway or whatever it is, put your VR headset on, plug it into your phone, and play your games.
They are crazy people, but good on them for trying. May as well try.
But this is Oculus Rift. I mean, they really, I mean, right in left field came out with this, and it is hit like crazy. So
well,
I don't
hit like crazy it's because not, it's good technology, but there's things like, well, controls still haven't been figured out for Oculus Rift using control methods that have been being used since the 80s, let alone they want to start having control methods compatible with touchscreen devices, which are made to be looked at, but for Oculus Rift stuff. And you've already said how difficult it is to play an iOS touch game on your PC.
Right.
Oh, sorry, on your TV.
Well,
power is an issue. Like, are you going to be carrying a power pack for the first couple of years of this technology, or is it only going to come out when phones can power?
I'm thinking Oculus Rift is going to have nuclear technology in the next year. It's going to power their headset.
Yeah. Huh. Actually, that would be cool if they did need a power
having
pack.
Having nuclear technology and the power of a headset, yeah.
Well,
nothing can go wrong with that.
I would.
While we're on the subject of Oculus Rift, like, you heard that they would like to eventually make the VR headset itself free.
Free.
Well, like, subsidize it by other means.
I hope they do. Okay, I think that would be the key to making it mass appeal. Like, that would be a world changer. But whether they can actually do it, I have doubts, because they're still a startup. Like, they're still. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
these are big pie in the sky plans right now.
Yeah. We should move back to Gears 2.
Well, yeah, Squiddle, is there anything else you've been playing, anything new, or is that more or less that? I think that's a meaty amount of new stuff, eh?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for me.
Well, until next week. We can't wait.
Until next week, yeah, sure.
But yeah, we can get to the next big thing of, yo, dog, I heard you like rewards, so I got you some rewards for your rewards. Yeah, basically for the reward of, like, an achievement of doing something, you now get a reward of money, karma, fancy rewards. And that's something that's out right now. I don't know if you guys have hopped in online. I think Squiddle may have seen some of this. Cynic, did you see the new?
I saw the interface, and like
achievement
Shinboy,
system.
I think it's a pretty cool interface. I wasn't able to. I have zero interest in that kind of stuff, so I didn't delve into it. But Shinboy said it's got a really cool interface and it works really well. So that means something, I guess.
Yeah, I really like the new take on tracking what achievements you need to get or work on for, like, zone completion, killing the enough centaurs or something. So that is cool, at least the UI of it. How it works right now, and any folks who may have been taking a break and jumping back into the game, let's say you have 5,000 achievements, you did, like, world completion, all this other crazy stuff, nice job, you will see for every day an achievement chest for, like, 1,000, day two is, like, 1,500, day three is 2,000, and you'll start getting those up until you get to the, like, point of 5,000. And then when you get to, like, 6,000, then, like, 3 weeks later when that happens, you'll get that chest. But they're basically staggering it right now. And some of the rewards are kind of just, generic. Hey, you get a gold, or you'll get, like, this achievement chest, which then has rewards like a crap ton of badges of honor, some of the boosters, bags of, or jugs of karma, of course, all sorts of neat stuff. So it's a very – it's a pretty cool reward system. And then you also get some kind of neat gear and a choice of gear. And if Shumbo was on the podcast, he could probably explain it best. But any of you guys know how the, like, gear is given to you?
No.
I can tell, per character, you just open the achievement thing, and there's going to be an option to, hey, take this item, and it's account bound.
Okay.
So it's you can have as many
of those as you want.
Yeah, yeah. I believe the way it hands out the rewards, like, you get one reward per day, and when you go into the achievement thing, there are, like, chests that show up, like, you can see them at the top of it, and as it's back paying them, essentially, right now, each day that you log in, it just automatically gives you a chest. Mm-hmm. And I believe that panel in there, once it has given you all of them that you have already earned, I think once you earn a new one, you can see that in that panel and then click on it.
And yeah, it says like the next up and it mouses over. Like, hey, for example, I want to say like either 5,000 or 5,500, I'll be getting some gems. I'll be getting 400 gems.
Right.
Which I think it's the first tier where you start to see stuff like that. But that's again cool. They're giving us the in-game money equivalent for just, you know, doing jumping puzzles and stuff.
Sure. Do you care about achievements? Because I struggle to.
I don't necessarily care about achievements. I just like that. Again, they found a way to reward this progression in. Not necessarily, it's slightly interesting. Like, obviously, other MMOs have done stuff like this with achievements. Mm-hmm. But it's usually like, hey, upon like what we see now with like, hey, if you kill a million Dolyaks in WoW, you get the title achievement of Dolyak Killer. Mm-hmm. They haven't really done anything like your number of achievements gives you some sort of reward that isn't a currency. It's a tier base.
You know what? They didn't release trading cards, so I'm fine.
Yeah, no training cards.
I'll tell you what. Yes. I just logged back in because recently I got my skin, the Zenith skin for my points that I've been earning, and I clicked on the chest, and then unlockable rewards. I can withdraw that skin as many times as I want on this character that I'm.
That is pretty
cool.
I
don't know if it's account wide, but because the problem is when I'm a thief, I have two daggers, and I was like, okay, I got. One skin, great. How do I get the other skin? Now I have two in my inventory right now, one in the bank. So yeah, I can reskin it. I think that is very, very cool. I did not really realize cool. that.
That's pretty cool.
The other thing that they've been giving out rewards for is champion rewards. Basically, for every time a champion is taken down, there is a chance to get a little box. I'm not sure about the like cooldown on it, if it's a daily thing or what have you, but basically it will, according to the wording, the chest will contain things like crafting materials, skill points, unique skins, lodestones, and more. More being the bulk of that.
Lots of boosters from what I've seen so far.
God damn it.
But
fuck boosters.
You get a skill point out of a chest?
That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. I mean, yeah. I mean,
why not?
You can get gems out of it, so why not?
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm just hoping this means that we're going to go back to the days of there being a shitload of unique skins for specific, very specific, really obscure bosses that you're going to have to hunt to find.
That'd be nice.
That's what it was in Guild Wars 1, and I hope they come like back to that for this. So, I'm just worried that it's a chance of a unique skin from a box, which is a chance to drop. Like I would rather they always drop a box, but what you get in it is randomized. But whatever.
Yeah. So you're saying like legendary armor from a drop?
No, but like a precursor to a legendary item. But whatever. Yeah.
But it's not the legendary armor. I think it's a skin that has no stats, and then you add it to a piece of armor. So it will be cool looking stuff, but it won't be like amazing points or anything.
And most importantly, it's unique, and that would be cool.
Like, yeah, we just the really awesome skills. Lead into this is that we've talked a while ago about their improving the scale up feature, which as anybody who may know right now, if you run around with like, you know, 20 some odd people, it just adds like more guys in the same spot that are very easy to kill.
Right.
With the new system, it's going to be they'll spawn veterans and whatnot.
Yeah, we talked about
and then
right.
Yeah, we've talked about that part. We didn't talk about how if you're in Orr or South Sun Cove, it will spawn champions as well. as a second scale up feature.
Oh, I thought they did that everywhere.
No, exclusively in those zones.
Okay. Is that a good thing? Would you rather it that way, or would you rather it, I mean, everywhere?
Part of me wishes it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Part of me is okay with it being an orange south zone, because those are the zones that are in the most dire need of, like, a facelift, so to speak, as in terms of high-end zones.
Wait, so are you saying these things will stack? Like, if you're in a lot of people in a zone looking for, like, you can go to an event, spawn
basically
a
you're going to go into, like, one of the ore zones and just ask, where's the Zerg?
Yeah.
And there will be a roaming pack of wild dogs,
right,
just taking out systematically all the events in, right, ore, and you'll just, it's almost like the karma trains that we saw beginning in the game before they nerfed that.
Yeah.
So they clean it up a little bit and bring
you
it back.
Get like champion spawning because you have enough people there, but then the champions will have their like rare or unique drops as well because of this other thing they're adding. Those two together would be awesome. I guess I just wish it was. I still, even with that justification of those two areas needing more people in them, I think that just having this really cool system restricted to that area is not the right way of doing it. But hey, whatever. It works. It's
personally
cool.
I'm just also hoping that these champions that will spawn specifically for scaled up events will also have abilities designed to be taking on 40 plus people.
That would be cool.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Just immediately throwing back to the Shaman Reflect thing from the betas.
Yeah.
Just for you, Cynic.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
But yeah, like that is I guess the main thing. We can also talk about the Dungeon Complete Bonus Reward, or the DCBR, as I call it.
We haven't talked about crafting ticket to 500 either.
No, that's the main thing of the rewards, but Dungeon Complete Bonus Rewards. This is kind of an interesting thing. I guess we can talk about it. Basically, they're getting rid of the current system of when you complete the dungeon, you get X tokens and money. They haven't talked at all about tokens, so I think for each run you get tokens, and there's going to be diminishing returns for that, same as before. The money is the thing, where they'll be removed, and instead you'll get a fancy chest that for the first two runs of the day, you'll get that chest for that path. And the amount of money in that chest is based off the difficulty and length of the dungeon.
Okay.
So any listeners who are just hearing this for the first time that may love running Citadel of Flame, like the 5-minute path over and over again right, to get like 5 gold in an hour sort of thing, are going to be like,
learn,
no!
You should learn there's more out there than just that path.
Well, and so this is going to be an interesting experiment, or just thing to observe, is how competitive they're going to make that scaling feature. If there's just going to be a, like, one solid point that, like, okay, this is the most money versus your time that you're going to get a payoff.
There always is going to be that, right?
Well, there always is.
Yeah.
But will it be worth it to skirt that line of like, hey, I want to do like one of the Arad dungeons. Will there still be enough people who are willing to do that and right, still get a decent, you know, pay worth your time?
Are these like themed drops for like each dungeon, or is it just like a chest that's generic and gives you?
They haven't talked about any themes, but it's just like, hey, we're adding a bonus payout as well as I think a couple other stuff.
All right, sure. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about new crafting material next. But first, self-confessed Cynic, what you been up to?
Wait, so, just before we do that, is there any probably talk about it, but is there anything about crafting that is actually interesting? Like, did they just add new materials and raise the cap to 500? Like, is that the extent of what they did?
I mean, it is, but with those craftings, that's where they're going to fill a lot of the gap of ascended items. They're just going to be, you're going to start crafting them now.
Okay.
With the 400 to 500 thing.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Which leads me to wonder if we're going to see, quote unquote, because I don't like saying votacommas, legendary armor sort of thing. Like really amazing armor designs that you get with like armor crafting, leather working, and all that,
right,
in that 400 to 500 range.
I just hope we can eventually make something that looks better than pearlescent shit, because that stuff looks terrible, and so does the draconic stuff. Because goddamn, I don't know who sat down and went, hey, you know those people who spent all that time getting to the top of crafting? Let's give them some of the dumbest looking skills and skins of the world for anything they fucking craft. Fucking assholes. Sorry.
Damn.
You feel better? You get all out of your system? You good?
I just remember when I bought a box of draconic armor and it went all the way bad for like a month because it was bugged and I was really annoyed and I, yeah, whatever.
Well, that was your fault.
And then I got it and it looked terrible.
Well, and then the other thing that made me just raise an eyebrow about this was you with the new crafting material rewards, they're going to be account-bound crafting materials added to the game. And I'm right. just like, what would you be using them for? Would they be designed specifically for the like the legendary sort of stuff, the big things you want to craft for yourself?
I bet that's for the ascended stuff, because they want ascended stuff.
Well, what if people don't want to do that? I mean, if it's got to be stuff you can turn around and sell, too, after crafting.
I don't know. Like, do they want ascended stuff to be earned in PvE, or can it just be bought? Like, I think from what they've shown us so far, they want the people who have ascended gear to actually go out and do stuff to get the ascended gear. And I can definitely see ascended gear specifically requiring account-bound crafting materials, right?
I mean, I can see that, but at the same time, I also expect to see a lot of stuff from crafting in the 500 top tier to be vendor, like to be put up on the trading post. Because it would seem weird to have the economy at this, at like the 400 level, and the crafting at the 500 level. Like the value of a lot of things would drop, I'd wager, if that were the case.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I have another idea. I don't know if they can do it or not, but it would be kind of interesting to see that. Very much similar to it is if somebody gets a legendary, you know, they have a legendary and it's great and all, but what if the, not crafting material, but the schematics for making the legendary armor was legendary itself? You have to be level, what is it, 500, I think they're going to? Is that what's it, correct?
Yeah, it's going 400 to 500.
All right, so let's say they go to 500, and you have to pay the same amount of gold or price or find it just as it was to find your legendary precursor. And you get it. Now you can craft that armor, but people have to, you know, provide the materials for it. In some form or fashion, let's say that person gets that. This is very, you know, far out.
I mean, like there. That. This just screams the rich get richer.
Well, yes and no. But okay, so let's say it's account bound. You know, you still, as an individual, have to get that information. Let's say it's not. Like, let's say account bound is gone. Let's say it is a different type of naming. A name for it, and then you get these items, but you're not high enough to craft this stuff because you just don't give a shit about crafting. You never wanted to do it, but your buddy has the schematics to make the legendary armor, and if he has it, he is able to accept items in a queue for that armor for you, type thing. And so you can trade it with him, and then he can make it for you.
Oh, it's like a
job. Right, but you still have to acquire the items on your own. You can't buy them.
Okay.
You can't trade for them. But this one guy spent all the money he had to get this leg skin, and you are leg, you know, or whatever, and you want that, and he can make it. But you still have to farm yourself and get your own equipment to be able to do that. It's not stuff that can be tradable. I mean, that would be kind of cool, because then that leads to the individual saying, okay, well, I can make this for you, but I'm going to charge you 20 gold. Right. To make it, you have to bring me your material. So that makes more of an in-game economic system than just. And I know it takes it out of Anet's hands for doing that, but that would be very interesting to see them make that kind of step.
Like it definitely sounds like an interesting approach, not one I would see the guys at Arena doing, and more so the amount of stuff that they need to, like the amount of small systems that just. On this podcast, like today's episode alone that we've talked about, there's a queue they have to get in if they want to make that trading system, because they've had plenty of opportunities to put trading in the game already, and instead they've gone with like, no, send it by mail, it'll take a while, and like, you know, carry pigeon only,
fucking so, mail. God damn,
yeah, like it's just. It leads into like some people being able to be Scrooge McDuckish, which they're all about just having, you know, laid back surfer mentality of just friends and heal each other. I don't think they open up for that sort of encounter to form.
Okay, so what if you got trading cards for making pants for people?
Nope, not JPEG. You can get the new crafting materials from your favorite mini dungeons, jumping puzzles, bosses. Pretty much a lot of the same ways you do your daily daily achievements. Yeah.
Is part of the reason why you guys care about trading cards the fact that you can get money from them or not? Like, is that part of it?
Not at all.
Okay. No, not at all.
All right.
Just because it pisses you off. That's about the only reason I'm going on.
Fucking trade. Like, what are we in the 80s or something? God damn it. What the fuck?
Also, count magic finds. Basically, anybody who has got magic find gear, don't try and get a whole new set because they're going to get rid of magic find as a stat. And instead, you will just have a passive account wide buff that will slowly accrue either from achievements, from consumables. Various different ways to up your magic find. I'm sure they'll still keep Umnum berries because those are delicious.
I just want to say about fucking time.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's there was, I'm sure, a big, long argument about how they want to fix this issue, and this is not a bad way to fix it.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't join Guild Wars 2 to play Diablo for MMOs. Yeah, I was going to say,
this is why MMOs don't put magic find in them.
Yeah.
Yep, so that's going to be a fix. And then so that way you have your magic find buff and you still have gear to kill stuff really, really quickly.
Wait, so Duren, is this a good thing? Like,
this is a good thing.
Okay. I mean, this is a good thing only because they can't fix it by simply just fucking removing magic find, cause it would piss too many people off.
Right.
So they have to find a way around the fix by doing things like this. Mm-hmm. They should have never done magic find in the first place.
To anybody that doesn't know, the big pain in the butt for this one was, let's say you got a group of five doing a dungeon. The person who is contributing the least to actually taking the thing down because he has no damage stack gear on his attire has the most to gain because he's replaced it all with magic find. So he's getting all the rewards for everyone else's work. And that, like, a lot of people are like, well, it's link your gear. We're not giving you an invite on this. And it's very much just vitriol coming from back and forth in the community. And this is a wonderful way to solve it. They should have never done this in the first place, but whatever. they had reasons. They wanted to rush and get the game out the door, I'm sure. Man. What have you. I think that covers all the topics.
We have two options here. I'm going to say this live on the show, and you guys can choose which one we're going. We can either go what me and Thurbleton have been playing and interdispose something about Guild Wars 2, or we can finish Guild Wars 2 stuff here and then just move on to what we've been playing and end out the show.
I'm just trying to get through as much about these updates so we can get to your, like,
is there anything else?
Key topic. A medium amount.
Really? There's more?
What?
Yeah.
Holy
precursors.
Shit.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
All right.
They talked about how, like, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cynic, what you been up to, sir?
So we'll do what I've been playing, and then more Guild Wars stuff, and then what you've been playing, and then end out the show?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So what I've been playing... So, Durin.
Oh, jeez. This is going to be a long one.
Oh, boy.
Euro Trucker 2, what do you think?
I think I've come around to your way of thinking, and I've re-examined my beliefs on this whole topic, and Diablo 3... is a fucking amazing game.
Right?
All right, guys, I'll be back. I'm going to go.
Fuck you.
Someone else run the podcast.
Like, I bought Torchlight on the Steam sale. Torchlight 2 on the Steam sale. Mm-hmm. And this is my first time I've played a Torchlight. And for a while there, it was pushing all my buttons. It was like, okay, this is why I like Diablo 2. This is great. I'm getting drops and stuff. And it's a pretty easy leveling up system, which is kind of cool. It's kind of streamlined. It's pretty well streamlined, actually. And then I played it more. And then I played 28 hours of it in about 3 days. And then I realized that, wait, this game isn't as good as Diablo 3 at all. Like, it's not, why am I playing this when I could be playing Diablo 3? And then I remembered why I uninstalled Diablo 3 because it was taking up my entire fucking life. And I was like, I for a long time there, I was disabused from Diablo 3. I was like, it's not, I don't love it as much as Diablo 2. It just doesn't have, like, the thing for me. But the truth is, I left Diablo 3 because it got to the point where I was spending like 5 hours a day farming to afford gear to get better in whatever difficulty I was playing. Were we playing on Hell or Nightmare? Do you remember, Durin? I don't remember.
Oh, God. I think we were playing... No, we were playing on whatever the one below Inferno was.
Hell. Okay, cool. No,
I think
okay.
I
thought it was Nightmare. I don't know.
No, because Inferno, I think there's four, right?
Second highest.
Because we hit that wall at like Act 2 or whatever it was. And it was just like, fuck this game. And so I was spending like 5 hours a day farming for gear that would eventually get me past Arc 2. So I quit. I was like, fuck it, this is not worth my time. And that's the real reason I didn't like Diablo 3. Because it's weird when it comes to the difficulty. And obviously they've made many changes since then, rebalanced stuff and all that kind of stuff. But so Torchlight 2 is like Diablo Lite, but without many of the things that makes Diablo good. Its plot is fucking terabad to the point where I like neither me or Noob we just stopped talking to anybody and we started skipping scenes and shit because it's just pointless. Like Diablo 2 is not, it doesn't have the best plot. Nor does Diablo 3, right? It's pretty...
It's pretty generic.
So you're saying it's the Traherne of storylines.
What does that mean? Oh, it's from Guild Wars.
Yes.
I would say it's the... Diablo 2 and 3... Diablo 2 is like the first half of Guild Wars 2, where it's all exciting and pretty awesome and stuff's kind of interesting. Diablo 3 is like the second half of Guild Wars 2. Which is like kind of sideways. It's kind of predictable, like but really predictable, and it all kind of draws to a pretty like unclimactic close. But in both cases, you at least have a good idea of what's going on. There's clear objectives. There's a world that actually has interesting design to it. Like some of the last levels of Diablo 3 are actually pretty damn cool looking. Same with Guild Wars 2. And it all kind of comes together in a way that makes it at least compelling. Torchlight 2 isn't compelling whatsoever, aside from the loot grind. Like, it's not... Like, I was loving the loot grind. I'd liked some of the enemy diversity, but it was, like, it's just the fucking... Oh, that... We were playing on Elite difficulty, which is the same as Inferno, I guess you'd say. Me and Noob were playing together. I played one character with Noob and we put about 12 hours to that. I brought two other characters to the end of Act 1. So I haven't played any Act 2. I quit after Act 1. But yeah, it's just the main things with it is beyond the actual game itself. Diablo 3, now that I think back to it, had fantastic netcode. Like, I did not know how good that game's netcode was until I played Torchlight, and I've thought about it a bit more, because that game, aside from the fucking terrible net problems at the start, and the server problems and all that shit, just played. Like, you were with friends, whatever, and you just fucking played the game. It was fun. While you were in it, it worked. Of course, that was before the account started getting hacked and all that kind of stuff. But the number one thing Diablo 3 does that Torchlight doesn't is fucking... quest finding in matchmaking. It is like the thing I wish all games did. Being able to go online, go find a game that's doing the same motherfucking quest I'm doing, and let me just play with those people. But Torchlight, you have to go, you have to sort, the only thing you can do is sort by level. And I got to the point where I had played the same quest four times with four different groups of people who, because I live in Australia, had to get offline at a specific point in that quest. So every game I joined was doing the same motherfucking quest because I needed to fucking complete it. And I was like five levels over leveled because I'd done the same thing on the hardest difficulty in the game with many groups of people. And it was just like, oh my God. No, don't. Torchlight 2 is worth playing, but if you like Torchlight 2, play Diablo 3. just go do that. It's really good. It's a really good game, guys. Like,
it's sort of like, you know, if you like League of Legends, just go play Dota 2.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
the reason I got out of Diablo 3 is because I could tell you right now, in a month and a half period, I racked up 178 hours or 2 month period of gameplay. Yeah. And I had beaten the game and I started doing, I can't remember what the name of it is.
The when second difficulty.
No, I beat everything.
Oh, shit.
To the point where I was playing as, when you die and that's it.
Oh, hardcore.
I can't remember what, yeah, hardcore. And I got to the point where I'm like, I just didn't find, because for me, I guess when I looked at it as, I really liked the idea of the real money auction house, and that fell through like a fucking ton of bricks.
That was the worst idea ever.
And okay, the idea was awesome. The execution was fucking terrible.
No, the idea wasn't awesome because the idea was the backbone for the game not having an offline mode.
Right.
I was 100% to blame for that.
Right, but I didn't care. I didn't care about the offline mode, and I never played with friends. I played all by myself because I played that game as a single player game. Wow. It was online or offline. That's how I played. I never played with anybody else but me.
Weird.
And I didn't like playing with other people. I thought it dragged me down, and it was they were too slow, and I wanted to kind of keep going through it.
Nice.
So, you know, when the RAH or RMH or whatever you want to call it fell through, I was like, okay, this is not very great. And what am I doing here if it's not to do that? That was kind of like my awesome, this is going to be something. And not that I can make money on, but that I can feel a progression about after beating the game and I can keep doing it.
Right.
So I've never played Torchlight 2. So I don't have – I bought it on the Steam sale. I've not played it yet.
Try it out. You know, okay. It definitely had me for the first 20 hours. Like I was there. Like I was, it has that loot grind. It has that basic propulsive, like equivalent of 30 seconds of fun, but for whatever you want to call them for these games. It's just, if you play that game solo, I bet it's pretty good, but I'm one of those guys who only likes those games on the hardest difficulty I can access with as many players as possible. So monsters take like 15 seconds to 30 seconds to kill. And
I got my cow level wand to level 3 and I could not fight anything in there. I would die consistently. So I really hardcored that entire game. Yeah. I thought it was going to be, and I never played Diablo 2. I never played any of the Diablo series. And I thought this is going to change the way I play games, and in the end, I got my money's worth out of it.
Yeah,
but it did not hold up for what I was hoping for.
Yeah,
that's what's so funny about that game. Actually, like just really quickly, a lot of people that kind of left that game on a down note, just like you know, kind of tearing the game apart. Like this is the worst game they ever played. This is you know, all, but like when you hear about it, it's like their complaint is, well, I got to Inferno and that's all the game was, and the game was too hard, blah, 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 and this other stuff. And like, the game is trash. It's like, if you got to Inferno, that means you had to have spent at least
80 hours?
Plus hours, 30 plus hours minimum to get up to that point.
I don't even know if minimum would be it, but
you got your money's worth at that point, so you can't really, like, ugh.
It definitely comes from expectations. And because I came to Ember, fucking Torchlight, what the fucking name is, with no expectations, that's probably why I stuck with it for so long, because it is very competent. It's surprisingly competent. And the problem is I came into Diablo 3 with expectations informed by Diablo 2, which is one of the best games ever made. So it's just... It's not as I'm going to stick by the fact that it doesn't have as compelling a plot as Diablo 2, and in many ways the classes aren't as interestingly balanced as Diablo 2, and a lot of the skills aren't as interesting as Diablo 2. But if I hadn't had those expectations, if Diablo 3, like a game that was a copy paste of Diablo 3, was named Torchlight 3 and on sale on Steam, I would probably motherfucking love that game because it is pretty good. It is a pretty good game. Without those expectations clouding my stuff. Anyway, a noob kind of has the same feelings as me. I think he didn't play it for 28 hours and 3 days, so like he probably is more up on Torchlight 2 than I am. But I don't know. Anyway, my main problem with Torchlight 2, aside from the net code issues, because by the way, like I put that game on my SSD because I thought that was the problem, but it wasn't. some maps, when you're signing on online, just moving between like a dungeon and the overworld takes like 5 minutes off a loading screen.
Never saw that. And I played that game. I mean, I wasn't on SSD, but I was on 4-rated.
Wait, I'm talking about Torchlight 2, not Diablo 3.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, not Diablo 3. Okay. Torchlight 2. This is my problem with Diablo. Did I say Diablo 3? I meant Torchlight 2. Torchlight 2 took like 5 minutes to go from. Same with both me and Noob. If you're playing online, I'm not sure how it is in single player, but going from a dungeon to overworld, 5 minutes, going back in the dungeon, 5 minutes. And then if you move maps, like some maps would take forever to load and other maps wouldn't. And it was really spotty. And we got to a lot of dungeons where for one player, all the enemies never fought back. But the other one, there was just fine. But if you killed them, you only get some of the rewards, and so that person for whom the enemies wouldn't fight back had to still kill some of the enemies, and it was just really broken. But Diablo 3, on the other hand, it played like a dream, now that I think back to it. But no. So the second game I played, that's the main part of it. The second game I played was a 4-hour or so, 3.5-hour Vita game called Jacob Jones and the Bigfoot Mystery Part 1. Durin, have you seen this game on sale for Vita?
You are making some very, very big assumptions that I have booted up my Vita anytime in the last 3 months. And 3 months is being generous.
Dude, you're missing out. Thomas Was Alone, freaking this, what's his face? Hotline Miami. That's all great Vita games.
I have Hotline Miami on my PC. I don't need it on my Vita.
I think it's I haven't started playing yet, but I think it would be perfect for Vita. But anyway, no. Jacob Jones' Bigfoot Mystery Part 1 is like Professor Layton, but with a kid and a Bigfoot as the main characters, with writing that's snappier, but also more kiddish. It's intended to be episodic. It's $2.50 or so for this first episode, which is really sounded like a great thing, but then I found out that you can only put money into the PlayStation Store in 10 increments. So what the fuck, PlayStation, get that shit together. So I ended up buying both. I actually went on the store intending to buy this and ended up buying Hotline Miami as well because of that. Anyway, so I guess they won. I guess they won, fuckers. But no.
They always win.
Assholes. For the house. God damn. But yeah, it's really fun. It's really cute. I'd say it's probably aimed at around, it's weird because it's aimed at around like 10 to 15 year old, like 15 year olds, that kind of probably, maybe eight, I'll give it maybe 8 to 12 to 15 year old people, based off the dialogue. But some of the puzzles, if you don't use any of the hints, because they give you like, I ended that game with like 150 hint coins for people who've played Layton and never used a single one. Like, so if you do it that way, a lot of those puzzles are legitimately challenging. To do in the minimum amount of moves, because some of them are like, move this thing around the screen and in the minimum amount of moves to get like an achievement or whatever. So it was pretty fun. I recommend a purchase, but remember that you can only put freaking. Oh, it's also on iOS, so you might just be able to pick it up there. Squiddle, I would say it's a recommend. It's pretty well produced. And the third game I've been playing, and the final game I've been playing, is Dust and Legion Tale. Finally! Finally put that in, or equivalently.
Holy crap, the race is on. Who will finish the game first?
Oh my God. What do you think?
I fucking cannot stand the character design of that game, but the world design and the voice acting and the music are absolutely out fucking standing. Like,
when you say character, do you mean like cut screen or do you mean like actual in gameplay?
I find it weird that there's a cat lady with boob like proportions.
Hey,
even though she doesn't have boobs.
That's okay in my book. I'm okay with that.
But that part is comparatively fine. But then like I'm referring to a specific NPC in the first town you get to. She has
You're okay with that.
She has a really sexy voice, and that's really weird.
Oh, stop it. Come on.
It is weird. It's
take
weird.
Your head out of the gutter and just enjoy the game.
She has a hot voice. I can't help it. But
Cedric, now why can't you just play the game like Reggie says?
Oh man, it's really weird. I was talking to Noob about this, and I was like, he could have gone down the route where they just had no sexualization, like they just didn't have like the proportions of a human female, like they could just be like equivalent of flat-chested animal. Like animals don't look like Arena did the char, and they don't look like fucking like. They don't look sexualized at all, right?
Monkeys have nipples. To
the rule. Okay. Yeah, they're the exception. Like, look at the Tauren on WoW.
I don't think that's a good thing that they're the exception. Like, I think that's...
I agree. It's not a good thing that they're the exception, but to really, like, call out Dust...
Oh,
why not play those games? Every other game that has animal people has.
I don't play the games
with Here's my people. Response to your opinion on that. Go make a better game. Because that guy, he made the game on his own.
Specifically, as I said earlier, like I hate the character design, but I think everything else about that game is fucking amazing. Like I'm gonna play the shit out of that game because the music. You're right, Squiddle. The music in that game. Yep. I was iffy on it when just going off the title screen, but as soon as it boots, that game has got some fucking good music. There's solid.
You're making me feel terrible for having bought that on Xbox Live and then literally never even booted it up.
Dude, it's got amazing music. It looks so beautiful. It runs 1080p, 60 frames a second.
Yeah, they do a great job at taking the audio and the heartstrings that pull from the storyline and really tying them in together,
right?
In a way that I have not felt in a game in a long time.
Aside, because I've only played like two or three. I'm taking it really slow because I'm just drinking that game in. Because
where are you at right now?
I've only just gotten to the first town, and that's.
Okay.
Let me have a look at my Steam thing because I think I've
played. So it probably about in the next hour and a half, it'll really hit you. And I would love to hear if you can play at least an hour and a half more, maybe 2 hours of game.
You guys interrupted me playing that game when we started this.
we will quickly move on to the Guild Wars topic.
But I want to say just before we go that.
Oh yeah, you can put a button on this.
The PC game has really wonderfully comprehensive options, so you can really scale the UI to the size you want, and I really appreciate that. And the combat is fantastic as well. It's a bit off, like it is not God of War quality, which is like and DMC quality. It's not like that level of really fantastic combat, but it's. Like me and Noob like, agreed that it's kind of like Mass Effect. Like Mass Effect 2 and 3's combat is good enough to the point where you don't feel it as being bad. It's perfectly serviceable, and that's what I feel about Dust's combat. But everything else in the game shines, and I cannot wait to play more. So
one last quick thing: are you playing it with mouse and keyboard or with controller?
Oh no, Xbox 360 controller. Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I just wanted to clarify that. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I'm going to be reporting in about that in the future.
Sweet. Well, jumping back to our last time for Guild Wars 2, as previously mentioned, Legendary Gear and Precursors has some focus for the second half of 2013. Basically, the long and the short of it is there's going to be some sort of scavenger Goron sword style approach to getting a precursor to then get the legendary. Basically, they're going to take the elements of certain things that have to do with the level 500 crafting, as well as probably get up on this mic instead of almost falling asleep.
What the hell's happening?
Do you need some oil? I can send you some to help that.
No,
chair
I need to finish drinking this delicious balls.
Oh yes, drink your balls down.
Ah, that's terrible. All right. But yeah, with the precursors, there's gonna be the crafting side of it, but they've also like sort of hinted that you'll need to get other things to like basically set up these events in the world. Like maybe have a fight with the Mega Destroyer and have an item that needs to be tempered in the steel of his like flame attack or something.
Oh shit! I'm not sure if. RIPD, rest in peace department, the game is the best thing ever or the worst thing ever, but I cannot wait for them to do a quick look on it. So
am I muted?
No. You started talking about precursors and legendaries and I totally tuned out. So Is this it's, okay? Give me your opinion on this. Give me your opinion.
How about this? How about this? They're now also working on a way to get legendaries and precursor skins to be available for PvP players.
That is interesting. I'm interested. You have successfully turned it around.
Success!
And made me interested. How? What is happening? How?
Basically, like the last, well, near the last of the blog post, he does. He talks about how they're working on improving the leaderboards and all that, but then also like, hey, we're just going to start implementing some way to get legendary. I believe the exact wording is adding new map types, adding the ability to gain legendary weapon skins in PvP.
Wait, he said new map types?
Yeah, we'll also expand the competitive options for gameplay.
Oh,
providing
shit!
Providing queue and leaderboards for solo rated play, separate from team rated play.
Yeah, whatever.
Adding new map types, adding the ability to gain legendary.
Adding new map types is really, really important, because that means TDM and CTF might finally fucking come to
What's TTF?
CTF, Capture the Flag.
Oh, CTF, yeah, Capture the Flag.
Yeah. Might finally make their way to Guild Wars 2, and that is that confirmed for 2013? Like, are they looking to bring that in 2013?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, as far as I can tell, this is like all this stuff is
everything
planned for the second
2013,
half,
right? That's that's exciting to me. Man,
I've successfully pulled you away from RAPD the game.
Oh man, like point based, yeah. like Squiddle, as you were saying earlier, like if they had a PvP map which worked like Call of Duty, where you just run in, kill as much shit as you physically can, get the fucking KD. If I could have a KD ratio in my Guild Wars 2, that is kind of interesting to me on a, like a deep primal level that I didn't expect myself to have until you just said it. Because I honestly had never expected them. They've been saying it for so long that I would just be like, yeah, sure, I'll come back when you actually fucking do it. And they've been saying...
You know what would be a cool thing is if they found some neat way to like make TDM like Guild Wars, as it were.
Maybe.
Like it's like there's the like each team is more or less like an element of like the area where like one side is like the snow effect. And as the team wins, the snow effect starts pushing more and more in one direction, whereas the other is like fire and it's pushing the other. Like, so it's as this battle's raging on, the map changes back and forth.
That sounds fucking awesome, Thurbleton. And my only concern for any of those map types is obviously high DPS, single target characters like the Thief, like the Elementalist, like some builds for all of the classes, really. And it's just, it could really get to the point where that kind of fucks everything up. I think if they bringing in maps like Skyhammer and that's the kind of the direction they're going with, and that I maintain that's probably now the best map in the game, I am interested to see how they go, especially if they limit like TDMs especially to 5v5. I can see that being important, because if it's limited to 5v5 and it is team based, because DM is bad. Like, I don't think DM would work in Guild Wars 2. Because it will just favor the really good Thief players out there. Because as far as where I put
No, like, no. Deathmatch works, but not in the structured PvP arena sort of thing. It works in the Battle Royale style arena. Like, that is straight up Deathmatch.
Yeah, but, like, the quick respawn Deathmatches and score
I get what you mean. Like, Quake and, like, Unreal Tournament, like, that sort of...
I don't think that would work. Because it would favor specific builds, like, too much, right? Like,
No, it needs to be done in a, like, you know,
the Guild Wars
streamlined fashion where everyone has the same abilities, and we'll see like a holiday.
Oh,
event.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be great.
Like this, South Sun one we just talked about.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
That's straight up deathmatch.
I don't know about that. I mean, I am spec'd highly DPS, almost no armor. And when I jump in and do my main attacks, I mean, I can easily be taken down. There's a group of people there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if saying that, you know, a thief would be the one that's would be more vulnerable in that aspect.
It's more like when I see like top, or well, it depends on the build, obviously. But when I play a PvP match, and then the game ends, the person with the most kills isn't always the person with the most points. but the person with the most kills is usually like a really broken engineer or a thief or a warrior or someone who's specced really high single target DPS. Because like how those classes usually work is you find you try to find the people out there who are going it alone and take them out. You don't go against the groups of people.
Well, I guess one thing that we have to keep in mind is the whole idea of this is for like there's definitely a fun aspect to it, but the like tournament play will be a big thing. And if the map is like a lousy balance thing and just meant for fun, we probably won't see it on a tournament scene, and so they won't care too much about it. I mean, sure. Like have you guys seen Raid on the Capricorn on a lot of the tournament maps?
I don't think
Custom Arenas.
I still don't think they've moved outside the regionals for the tournament maps. So, but
so yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
It's just will the game mode be fun is dependent on whether they can make maps or game modes that are accepting to a variety of builds, and that's
yeah, and map balance takes a big effect into that.
Yeah,
definitely game type, but map balance too.
Yeah. But like none of the current maps would be good for TDM, in my opinion. So that's
we will save this debate for when we actually have excitement and glee for when we have proof of what the next map type.
Back
will
to
be
your point, progression systems for PvP. Legendaries is good. But I think one of the things that has been like a weird oversight for a long time is gems. There's no way to get gems in through PvP play, and I think that's kind of weird, especially since like hours is tied to gems now for custom arenas. If they'd announced that, I'd probably find that a good move. But you're right. Like I've always wondered why they haven't put in legendaries for PvP, especially since we have a Mystic Forge right there in PvP. It's kind of weird, but hey, it's nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess going through the last few topics, for World versus World, Devin Carver did a post a while ago about basically just his plan as him taking over for lead of World versus World, his hoping to like plans for the changes and whatnot. What he failed to mention, or at least I don't remember him mentioning, is that he also plans on having a replacement for the orb mechanic in the Borderlands maps, which you guys probably don't remember or didn't care. Back in the day, it was a like zone-wide buff for your team, but also led to a lot of people like cheesing their way over walls and instantly stealing stuff. He says that this change will provide more diversity in the gameplay of World versus World, and also make it so that the Borderlands have their own, like, you know, exciting theme. Eternal Battlegrounds had, like, the three-way fight as well as Stillmist in the middle. Borderlands always had the orbs, and then they got removed. So that's something for us to look forward to, WoW-wise, on the horizon. And on the game as a whole horizon, it's going to go out in freaking China.
What? Oh, right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they've apparently sold over 3 million copies in U.S., Europe, and some island with a bunch of prisoners.
Okay, sure.
Australia?
Austria.
I think that's pronounced.
Austria, yeah.
Austria. Yeah, that sounds right. That checks out.
It's Austria with aliens, so it's Australians.
Oh, nice. I like that. But yeah, they're apparently doing a limited beta test in China and are planning on like making with a partner of the Find Nation, I guess.
Cool.
But along with that, they're also working on making some, you know, improved tutorial systems for beginners in the game. So on the horizon by 2014, it's definitely gonna be a lot more streamlined for introducing friends and whatnot into the game, which should be fun.
With my ESPN turned on right now, Noob is telling me that North Korea, the great motherland, will have its own version of the game by at least 2015.
Very nice. And for one last, you know, say this before dropping the mic, I guess. Looking for Group 2 tool is
finally. Oh my God.
Yeah. There was still no date, just that it's coming out.
Christ. Ooh, no, okay. This is more interesting than looking for Group Tool is investigating ways to limit culling in PvE.
Shut up. Oh, my God.
Looking for Group Tool is more important.
Oh, my God.
It's more important, But and more the culling thing is more interesting. How's because it gonna, that means they might bring back Karka event type stuff.
How are they going to bring in... How's Looking for Group going to work? Like, they haven't said a thing, have they? They're just, they're
no,
just fucking...
and there's multiple ways they could go with that. I guess we'll save that for another discussion. I am sort of rushing this because we're approaching the three-hour thing on my recording, and I don't want to do a really long editing for this.
I don't know. I think what we would say is it's about time, and that's pretty much where we'd leave it there. Right?
Oh yeah, it's definitely. I mean, there's not much to be said. Mm. It's just
yeah. I mean, when it comes to that, like that is by and large the biggest reason. I mean, that's the reason I stopped playing the Old Republic when that released, or you know, shortly after that released. And the same reason I haven't logged into Guild Wars 2 very often is a complete fucking lack of a basic function that should have been in the game a year ago.
Yep. Agreed.
And for the record, Final Fantasy XIV has a dungeon finder.
Yay. What? Same. Final Fantasy XIV has a dungeon finder?
Yeah, it has dungeon finder not only for dungeons, but also for like any kind of group.
You're
content.
Saying Square Enix has a better fucking group tool or a group tool?
Yeah, not only does it have one.
Wait, you're saying there's a Final Fantasy XIV? What the fuck have I been missing?
Not only does it have one, but they even went like a step further and like it double checks your gear to make sure you are the class that you signed up as.
Oh my
before
god!
It lets you into the dungeon.
That's pretty good.
Oh my god, ArenaNet. About fucking time. This is like a custom arenas level of me going about time.
Like this will get me playing the game more, guaranteed.
Jesus. As always, the content we've talked about is subject to change as they test and iterate on these systems. Mm-hmm. And that concludes the Guild Wars part of the Linking Cast.
Finally, so Thurbleton, what have you been playing?
In terms of new stuff, like the two big new things game wise for me have been I've started trying to make missions in Arma 3, which has been an interesting thing of trying to like get back into sifting through wiki pages of commands for like units, vehicles, and whatnot, and then alt tabbing back to the game, testing it, and just back and forth of trying to make it everything work, which has been, you know, ripping what little hair I have left out of my head, and then also just like, oh wait, this is how it works. All right, now, and then like getting leaps and bounds of progress, which to anybody who's ever done like programming work, it's pretty much that. But you're, yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's it's fun. It's enjoyable as well.
I missed it. Which game was this?
Arma 3.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is still in beta. It's in beta right now. But also League of Legends.
Oh God.
Basically, I have a friend who they wanted to try out the game, and I was like, "No, you should try Dota instead." Like, well, I like the art style of League more, so I'm going to try that. And you know,
how?
Despite your advice,
doesn't that look more cartoony? Isn't that?
Yeah. She likes the cartoony stuff, I guess.
Oh, it's a girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Am I allowed to make that?
There's a kryptonite in Monk's his armor, right?
Yeah, was that a bad call? Just... Am I allowed to say that kind of stuff? I guess not. No. Girls are allowed to like Diablo is what?
Maybe, I don't know. But
I'm just not
going to. Weird just jumping back into that.
I'm not even.
Just let Cynic put his foot in it. Just let me put my foot in my mouth again on this show.
Yep.
God damn it.
No, it's okay. You can edit it out. You have the power.
No, nope, it's staying in.
It's a pretty big foot.
I think I dug myself out of that perfectly fine.
Other than that, I did some walking around downtown Portland. So I'd recommend that to anybody who lives in Portland, or if you live in a city that does not have a creepy, you might get shivved downtown. It's summertime, at least in the cool hemisphere. Not the uncool hemisphere. Screw Australians.
Oh. Chicks can totally like dark art styles. Like, it's perfectly fine, right?
he's not even listening anymore. He's trying to backpedal.
No, it's like, I don't know why I said that anymore, because I guess I've always associated cartoony with feminine. I don't know. That's just me. I'm sorry, okay?
You're not really helping yourself if you realize that.
Self-confessed cynic, do you have any plugs for the show?
I'm not a sexist. .com.
Squiddle, how about you?
Just one thing I forgot to mention. Do not buy RIPD the game. Do not play RIPD the game.
It looks so good.
No. No, I bought a 2-pack for Shin and I to
play. Why did you buy it?
As a fun little riff, and it turned out horrible. So please, take my advice. Do not play the game. And have a great night, everybody.
Is the game to die for?
Oh, God damn you.
Please tell me that's the tagline. Is that the tagline of the game? Did he just make that up? I don't know. I hope it is. I hope it is.
I don't even... I No.
I mean, it's okay to like League of Legends if you're a girl, okay? It's okay.
Oh, God damn!
That one I did on purpose.
And so concludes this episode 51 of the Lincoln Cast. Thanks for listening, folks. I had a plug, but I mentioned it earlier in the show. I don't remember anymore. Take care.
The biscuit guy. What the fuck is his name? Wooden Potatoes.
Wooden Potatoes.
Yeah.
The biscuit guy.
Yeah. So it's www.youtube.com/wooden potatoes.
What's the hashtag? Was it like one more reason or one reason why?
Yes. One reason why.
Hashtag one reason why. Tweet it. I don't know.
As the night falls upon the land, the precipice of time comes upon you, and you will find the shadow of death finding in the light that you seek, for your sleep will never come again.
I'm not sexist.
You're trying to end it with that, aren't you? You're trying to end it. No. No, we're just going to keep talking. And
I like ponies. Ponies are nice.
I bet ponies like League of Legends.
Girls like ponies. That's a thing. That is a thing. Oh, God.
You know what? We're ending it there.